This is PFW in Progress.
Hello, I'm Robert Goulet.
PFW in Progress.
What you get is one full hour of rip-roaring...
Fred Kirsch.
Not some dubious ruffians without the chops, but by a professionally trained voice man.
I don't think Ben Watson is a cheap tipper. I think your girlfriend probably gave...
Paul Perillo.
I don't care if he is Mr. Notorious Big. Can he croon?
Let's groove tonight.
See, I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
You get the idea. It's Snoopy, Dre, Biggie, Huffman.
And Andy.
Coolio. The whole bunch. Watch what I do with this little ditty from Mr. Cisco called the Thong Song. Are they going to sing it again? Shabak, shabop, bop, thong song.
Andy Hart.
You wouldn't hire a clown to fix a leak in the john. Yeah.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
You don't even blink, do you? Quick staring contest, me and you, now. You win, you always do.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Anyway, check out the CD. You'll just love it. Or my name isn't...
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
PFW in Progress here on a Wednesday afternoon, full of pizza, full of... hype, full of media, full of a lot of stuff today at Gillette Stadium, but not full of a lot of interesting sound bites coming out of the Patriots locker room. We'll get to that in a moment. Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo with you, minus our leader, Fred Kirsch. I think he's emotionally drained after yesterday's performance, in which at various times during the course of the show, he dropped a whole lot of inappropriate words and nearly dropped the king of inappropriate words, just barely catching himself, yep. But... he won't be with us today. Gary, I'm going to need headphones, by the way. I think these are...
So are those words back on the do not say list? Was that a temporary...
Yeah, I would like to make a motion to put most of those words back on the do not say list. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Okay, so mental...
I'm against it.
I will not say any of those bad
words. I don't say them unless Fred says them first.
Right.
He's the...
Right, and then you say them...
Monkey see, monkey do.
Then you say them incessantly during the rest of the show, and then all of a sudden, you know, we get issues. We get people calling
people
for
want
people's
you
jobs.
Fired.
Yeah, they want you fired.
Yeah, but that happens every show.
I have noticed that pattern.
Well, it's just because I just don't accept everything the Patriots do as law.
Like we do.
No, yesterday you guys weren't really involved in that. It was me and Fred. I didn't say anything about you guys.
I'm apparently the only one who has any problem with running up the score. I think it's classless. Everybody else thinks it's okay. It's just you need to admit that you're running up the score.
Well, I mean, we talked about that enough yesterday. We don't really have to get into it a lot. But Fred, my point yesterday was Fred changed his tune dramatically from Sunday after the game or even during the game to when he got on the radio yesterday. And he didn't like it when I called him a liar because he changed his tune. But we'll get to that in a lot more. More importantly, you know, we said yesterday we would turn our attention to the Indianapolis Colts, and we will do so today. The latest meeting of two undefeated teams in, since the 20s, I think they said?
I'm going with ever. No one remembers the 20s.
So, certainly, I don't think there's any amount of hype that you can give to this game that would be in excess. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I think these two teams are the best two teams in football. I don't think there's a close third. What are the things that we're looking for in this game besides the obvious in terms of the offense? But there are some new cast. There's a new cast of characters on both sides. How much of a factor do you think that's going to be? All right, then. Webradio at Patriots.com. Again, that's Webradio at Patriots.com. I guess I'll rephrase it a little bit. There's a whole new secondary in Indianapolis and a couple of new linebackers in Indianapolis, whereas the Patriots have a whole new set of wide receivers from last year. How much of a difference do you think those factors make heading into this game? Or, you know, is it like Bill said when he was asked about this, you know, a few minutes ago, we'd just kind of have to wait till Sunday to find out?
Well, I think we have to wait till Sunday to find out, but obviously it's going to make a big difference. I mean, the entire offense is different for the Patriots, and a good chunk of the matchup against the Colts defense is going to be different. So it's... Now, how that plays out, I don't know. You guys know that I personally think the Patriots are light years ahead of the Colts, that I think this offense will not struggle against that defense and will put up a lot of points. But Bill's right. We'll find out Sunday.
Yeah, I think the Colts are better, but I think the Patriots are a lot better than they were the last time they met.
I mean, going from whoever to, you know, the guys they put in there who I think are better. I mean, the Patriots went from a guy who can't play in the league right now in terms of Rishe Caldwell as their top receiver to Randy Moss. I mean, that's a huge jump.
The only thing I'll say about the last time is I thought the Colts were tight and a little nervous early on in that game, and the Patriots got out to the lead. I just don't think the Colts really fear the Patriots anymore. I thought because it was such a big game, they might have been a little tight, being that going up against the Patriots. But once they calmed down and Peyton started taking things that was there, they were fine. And the last couple times they came to Foxborough, no trouble. So I don't think they're going to fear the Patriots at all. And that's why I think the game's going to be close, because I just think you have Peyton Manning, and he can do some things against this defense.
And that's why I think the Patriots' main motivation for this week, which is clearly Bill Belichick harping on them, you haven't been very good against the Colts the last three times we play them, could backfire if they lose, because then they become, well, we just can't beat the Colts.
Yeah.
If you want to harp on it all week, we just can't beat them.
It's kind of a big game in that.
Huge. Three-game winning streak for the Colts. It's just like the Broncos. They're the only two teams that have three-game winning streaks against the Patriots.
Because, like, I know we were arguing with Felger that one day, and he said that, well, Patriots fans will just say, well, we'll beat them the next time. And we brought up the Broncos. That's the one team that
Patriots fans fear.
Now, I know they don't want to give the Colts any credit, but they beat them again now because this is supposed to be the best team ever. Now, the Indianapolis beats them now. Now you got the second team that Patriots fans are going to fear when they play again. So, yeah, I think it is big in that respect.
No, I agree with you guys. I think that there is a little bit of a mental edge. And, you know, Bill touched on it a little bit, you know, talking about, he was asked about the rivalry and what makes this rivalry so special. And I understand that Bill is going to downplay how good his team is right now. He's going to downplay these kinds of questions. But he said, hey, look, it hasn't been that fun, it hasn't been that special the last three times, you know, for us. And, I mean, that's not even being Lou Holtz. That's point of fact.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they have not been able to beat them the last three times they played, and that despite the fact that they had a huge lead in one of those games. So it will be interesting on Sunday. I agree with both of you guys in terms of the amount of points and the offense is being, I think, going to be dictating how the game is played. I don't think the defense is this could be as simple as the first team to come up with a stop. And in other words, being able to get a two-score lead, that might be game. Because if you can just keep forcing the team to come from behind, I think it's going to be a difficult thing to do.
Plus, if you get a couple of stops and the other team goes up by 10 or 14, it could cause the other team to press a little bit on offense, especially like the Colts, who sometimes when Manning gets behind wants to hit that big play to get right back in it, and then that could be the end for them.
But I could even see a scenario, and I think that's a very valid point. We've seen that a lot with Manning, trying to get it all back at once. But I think you could even see a scenario. The Patriots get the opening kickoff. They go down the field and score to make it 7-0. The Colts go down and make it 7-7. The Patriots match it, go up 14-7. Maybe the Colts throw an interception. It becomes 21-7. And then it's 21-14, 28-14. And they just never catch up. There are no more mistakes made the rest of the game, but you can't catch up. I really think that one mistake on either offense could be the difference. I don't really see a lot of punts in this game.
No, you also can't. It's not
you can't assume
that. Paul Perillo declare it over in the first quarter.
Oh, no. No.
There's no chance this game
is
over
in the first quarter. There's no way of knowing before the game or as the game is unfolding in the first quarter that that's going to be the only mistake. You can't know that.
No, but I'm just saying most weeks you can say the game's over. The game just ended right now on whatever play you want to stamp as the play of the game. You can't do that this week. These teams are too good. They have too much power on offense. We've seen them come back and forth against each other. We've seen now the Colts, what they did last year. You certainly, unless one of the quarterbacks goes down for a season-ending injury, game-ending injury, you can't stamp this game over at any point early.
No, yeah. I agree. I you're not going to be able to write this one off. We saw it last year. I mean, I thought it was over last year, 21-3.
I was writing.
Yeah.
You know,
never had a chance.
That was three paragraphs in.
Now, I'll say if it's 21-3 this week in the Patriots' favor,
the Colts were in some trouble.
I think the Colts are in a lot more trouble than they even were last year, and we all know that they were in loads of trouble last year. They barely made it back. So,
well, I got a Randy Moss story.
All right, you promised to share that with us.
In this whole, we can't believe. Well, you know, when Randy Moss came here, we had heard what a terrible person he was, blah, 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 like he was a prima donna. So we had talked before how he was talking to Oscar Lua and all those guys. So I walking out, and I see Kyle Echol working out. And all of a sudden, I hear Moss's voice. What you got going tonight, Kyle? What you giving out? And I couldn't hear what Kyle Echol replied, and Moss goes, "Oh man, kids don't want to eat that blank." And then he goes, I don't know who else he was talking to, but he goes, "How about you, homie? What you giving out tonight?" And I couldn't hear the response again, and Moss goes, "Yeah, that's what I'm talking about." So Moss is in the weight room talking about trick-or-treating with Kyle Echol. If anyone had told you that when they signed him in April, you would have bet him anything that you wanted.
So now he's fighting for children everywhere to make sure they get good candy from NFL players.
Randy Moss is not in approval of what Kyle Echol is giving out tonight, just so you know.
So apparently you should go to Randy Moss's house if you know where it is, because it sounds like he must give out pretty good
Kyle
stuff.
Yeah, Kyle Echol's giving out apples or something.
Stay away from Kyle Echol's house.
Yeah, those popcorn balls those old ladies used to give out. Oh,
because you know we couldn't have said, like, Kit Kats or something.
Right. That's what I'd give. If I was an NFL player, it'd be king-size Kit Kats. If I was spending good money on...
So apparently Randy Moss is pretty excited about tonight, the trick-or-treating. He's all ready to go. It's unbelievable.
It's one thing
if he's talking to, like, Gaffney. Those are receivers. But he's talking to Kyle Echol, Oscar Lua. It's just amazing.
It's just
offensive linemen.
Yeah, offensive linemen.
Just laughable how well he's fit in. And I think the overall chemistry in that locker room with guys like that at the top and the bottom just blending, like, you wouldn't know the difference between them.
I think it's amazing that not only that they seem to get along as well as they do on all of them, I think their ability to seemingly just shut everything else out is amazing. And, you know, we spent a whole show yesterday talking about the running up the score and stuff like that. And again, we're not going to get back into that today. We're going to stick with the Colts, but you could look at those players. They could care less. They don't have any interest in that. They don't have any interest in what's being said at all. And they may care about it, but they don't let it show. And I think it's amazing how they're able to focus. I was just walking by Larry Izzo today. I go, "Big one this week is," and he goes, "Mm-hmm." They all are. You know, and I was actually surprised when he first started.
Shouldn't have done it.
You know, he was like, "Mm-hmm." And then I was looking as if to say, did he really admit that this was a big game? You know, and like Dan Copen, I heard a soundbite from, and he said, this is a big game, but this is not the kind of game that we're interested in playing in. You know, we're interested in playing in a lot more with a lot more at stake than this. So, yeah,
the big game.
Yeah, they admit that this is a big game and everything like that, but there are a lot of other big games that they're more concerned with, and I think they're amazing. I contrast that to the way Dallas took the game when they played in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. It's night and day.
And they're still talking about it. Creighton's still talking about it. Yesterday he was talking about the Patriots. I mean, let it go. And just one quick thing about the chemistry. I remember when we had mentioned, I mentioned here when I saw, like, Chad Brown walk by Teddy Bruschi. Remember when Chad Brown, like, gave him a look. And remember when those new guys were here and the locker room was dead silent,
right?
And, like, none of those guys really seemed to fit in. Now, they couldn't
Monty
play.
Beisel
they couldn't play. That has a lot to do with it, but, it just, they never really fit in. This is completely
Oscar
different.
Oscar Lua can't play.
Yeah, true. Kyle Echol
can't
play.
They're just all fitting in well, regardless of what their role is, how they play, how talented they are, whatever. Their status means nothing. They're just a bunch of guys screwing around having fun. And that comes at the expense of every other team in the league, apparently.
Yep.
All right, let's hit the phone lines right now. Lucky, our special guest from yesterday,
Lucky,
is joining us once again. Lucky, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Lucky.
Nothing much. I just wanted to thank you again for the awesome time you showed me yesterday. The show is so much enhanced, or it's so much better watching how I do it in person just by your actions and all your facial expressions and stuff, so.
Well, we appreciate it, Lucky. We're glad you were here. Now, about those tags you said you could make, what do you need on those? Your name, address, is that what you put on those dog tags?
No, well, for dog tags, what's usually on them is your name, your religion, your social, your whatever branch of service you're in, and your blood type.
Oh, okay.
So if you want those made, just all you have to do is just email me the information, and then I can just go to my unit and have them printed up right quick, and then I can mail them to you, get your address, and mail them to you.
Cool. Well, that sounds good. We appreciate that. Now, Lucky, you think this game is going to be a 2-touchdown win by the Patriots. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think it's going to be a good game, but I just have a feeling that the Patriots are going to pull it out or pull away from it, like, near the end.
I could see it turning out
that
way.
Lucky's right. He's dead on with this one.
I think the Patriots, if they score the last touchdown, could definitely win the game by two. I think it's going to be close, though. I think this game is going to be a closer game, certainly, than any of the other ones so far.
I just think our defense are going to make more stops than the Colts defense.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that one, Lucky. I think the Colts are better. I mean, I'm sorry. I think the Patriots are better.
That's what you feel in your heart, huh, Paul? You just let that one slip off. No. Glad.
I'm not. You know, this isn't like one of those other. I'm not a huge Colts fan. I'm really not. I respect and appreciate what Peyton Manning has done. That's for sure. I guess that's what separates me maybe from some of the other members of this show who may or may not be here today. I won't throw Andy or Tom under the bus. You guys can use the process of elimination to figure out who I'm talking about. But
yeah. Eric?
But I'm not a huge – I really despise Bill Polian, and that, you know, really for no other reason would have me root against them in a big game. But I do appreciate what Peyton Manning has done.
Yeah, I don't like the Colts, but I can't knock Peyton Manning and his accomplishments, so, you know.
Word.
All right, Lucky.
Thanks, Lucky.
We appreciate it. Thanks once again, and that was nice to see you yesterday. That's our buddy Lucky, Staff Sergeant.
Yeah, have a good one.
Take care.
No blow-ups for Lucky. He's too cool. Plus, he'll come in and whoop ass on us.
Yeah.
are you through? What are you doing?
I got the
he
fly.
Got the, actually, that was good work, Andy.
He got the fly. Annoying. He knocked over the cups. The
collateral damage. The fly was driving
yeah,
nuts.
It was driving us nuts. That's
and the only person who cares about those stupid cups is Fred. So he can
I can't believe you got it. That was a hell of a shot right there.
Patriots press release is coming for useful for something.
Things were staggering around. You got something on the top of that, by the way. I don't know if you have fly guts.
I don't like fly guts. I'm eating here.
Now he's got to throw it at me again.
All right. To the Patriots.
Back to the Patriots. Does this mean you're
leaving? Should we quickly let everyone know about Eric's thing?
Yes.
Okay. Eric is he does a fundraiser thing for a church, and he's selling raffle tickets. And the winner of the raffle gets a picture painted by Eric of anything they want, themselves, a family member, a pet. So I have bought two tickets. I'm thinking now in the email he said you can get a ticket for $1 or you could get 6 tickets for 5. Then he put in parentheses or 10 for 12 tickets for 10 or 15,
you get 18.
So he
yes,
specified
we get the
that
idea
for us. But I'm thinking about actually jumping up to the 5 for 6.
Oh, really?
Because I really want to win this darn thing. I'm not going to kid you. I want him making a portrait of me. So if you want to enter the Scalavino raffle and have him make a picture of you,
email the show.
Or take a picture is probably
right.
More like it because it's just like a photo.
Right.
Email
right.
The show, and we'll get you in on the raffle. But I'm looking to win this thing.
I might give him a couple just to support his local church.
Well, I didn't want to hurt his feelings, but what I wanted
you're
to do
you're not giving
was
him a penny, huh?
No, I wanted to just give him money, but make sure that I did not get any tickets entered into the raffle because I just am not interested in that whatsoever.
What, if one of us wins the raffle, how about we just say, spend that time working on your feature so we don't get it Friday at 3:30?
That would be another way to go about it, absolutely. But, you know, I'm all for giving money to, you know, charitable endeavors, and, you know, it's obviously something
and Eric is certainly a charitable
it's obviously something Eric feels strongly about, so I'd be more than happy to help him out, but I don't want any part of...
God bless Eric.
Any kind of...
If I won, I would just have Jackson. Give him a picture of Jackson and say, give me this.
Yeah.
He's painting me if I win. He'll be lucky.
So, Andy, you're going to take Jackson out trick-or-treating tonight? This was a minor...
fracas, what is the word?
Controversy up in the office.
It was idiocy, if you ask me.
I agree. Are you taking Jackson out trick-or-treating, even though obviously
to
he's not
limited,
old enough to...
Limited engagement. We'll hit the neighbors, you know, each side of the house, and Dieter's mom, my mom, his godparents. Probably about 5 stops on the little victory tour. Let's be honest, he's going to run out of gas pretty quickly, I think.
I'm taking the dog.
I think if he's your son, he'll never run out of gas.
He does fart now and laugh. He farted at Deidre yesterday, turned and laughed at her. That's my boy.
Get off the old block.
That's right. But, yeah, of course, going as a monkey. I figure at some point he'll get annoyed with having a monkey hat ears thing on and shoes and stuff. But, yeah, of course, that's what you do. You take your kids trick-or-treating. You know, I know it's frigid out there, and you can't take a kid who's 2.5. He's not old enough. Yes, Chris Wheeler, I'm talking to you.
Yep.
If
calling
you can
you
hear, if you're in anywhere in earshot of a computer up in your office.
I just thought it was moronic. He says you're exploiting your kid to get candy. Like, you can't go to the store and buy a bag of candy for 99 cents right now.
Chris Wheeler, no fun, apparently, as a
doesn't,
dad.
Does not celebrate Christmas or Halloween until his kids are, what, 15, 16 years old?
I'll be out with both of my children.
Of course,
looking
that's what you do.
To it. And,
isn't that part of the reason, like, having kids is to have fun with them? And, you know, that's what the whole part of it, right?
Right, I'm having fun with it.
I mean, Wheeler, he's just cracking the whip. It's no fun in the Wheeler household.
To be fair, I think he might be a little under the weather. He's had red cheeks lately. I think he might be.
No, he was pretty adamant about it, though.
Oh, he was.
He was actually shocked that you were taking your son.
Right.
Like he was in the majority here, and you were in
the
minority.
Let's be honest.
He was adamant about not getting a real Christmas tree, and then we wore him down, and he got a real Christmas tree for the kids. So we can break him on this one, too. We got a few hours to work here.
We gave him ample opportunity to sort of step back and realize the ridiculous nature of what he was talking about.
Not yet.
And
I think he was on the defensive a little bit there, though. Maybe, you know, it's been 3 hours since we argued with him. After the show, we'll go up there and try to speak with him reasonably and convince him that.
I was offended, and I don't even have a kid.
Poor kid needs to go out trick-or-treating.
Yeah. So I got Will as the...
Then he threw his wife under the bus. My wife's on board with me. She's okay with it.
Yeah. Will's going to be the fire chief. He has the full fireman's uniform.
And the best part about Will is he actually lights fires to put out.
And
little psycho.
And TJ will be his
the fire.
His Dalmatian, dressing as a Dalmatian.
Oh, that'll be cute.
Yeah. So.
And TJ won't like that in 10 years when he looks back on it. Why am I a prop for Will's costume?
Oh, that's true. But he'll be in the stroller anyway. So.
And Max is going as a pumpkin.
Yeah, I've already seen that gay picture.
Yeah, I'm a little disturbed by the whole dog dressing up in clothes thing.
Well, I knew Lori did it. Lori has pictures for every holiday in her office, but I didn't know Tom was. I look at his laptop, and there's a picture of his dog at like a pumpkin.
I bought him a hooded sweatshirt yesterday, but he didn't. We tried to put it on him, and he won't walk. He just stands there and looks at you. So
he says, "Get this stupid thing off me, or I'll piss on this
floor."
It's
not like we dress him up all the time, and it's just a joke around. It's like having a kid. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, but I see it building. Started as a Halloween, now he's just got a hooded sweatshirt to wear on Wednesday night.
See, I think what Tom thinks is that as long as he keeps dressing up the dog, then that'll
won't have to have a kid.
He'll put off the fact of having a kid.
Plus, I'm just trying to think about the poor dog here.
That dog lives a pretty good life, trust me. He can wear a sweatshirt every now and then for me.
He will entertain me every now and then or he'll be gone.
All right, we ready to hit some emails
here? It is
here?
A big game. We might want to talk about it.
Yeah,
it's Halloween too.
There's a ton of Halloween emails here.
Even I didn't care about that sidetrack.
But doesn't anyone want to talk football?
Yeah, let's talk football, Bill.
Matt and Quincy is our first up.
Right to the emails, quick, huh?
Well, that's what I said. We want to get some emails here and talk about this game.
Since we read four yesterday.
There are three things that really concern me going into this weekend's game.
One.
First of all, the depleted tight end situation suggests that Matt Light is not going to get much needed help against Dwight Freeney. Is it possible we see Vrabel, O'Callaghan, or some other non-traditional tight end in on something other than goal line situations this week?
My question would be, is it possible we see Ben Watson? Ben Watson in the locker room putting the pads in his practice pants and refusing to talk. I'm going to read into that and say Ben Watson plays.
Mike Vrabel, he's a good player, right?
Since
when did he become Deion Sanders? You're playing the second most powerful offense in football. Don't you think you need Vrabel to rush Peyton Manning? Now he's going to play tight end.
I don't think Mike Vrabel would play tight end in anything other than a short yard situation.
He will not play
because they're not going to waste his time learning regular offensive plays in the middle of the field.
Yeah,
you need him. You want the three sacks from last week. You could care less about the touchdown.
I asked him about that before, and he said he doesn't really even want to be on the field. Like I asked him, well, what about like a short yardage play at like the 30-yard line? He said no.
Right.
It's strictly an end zone thing. So I don't think that we're going to be seeing anything like that. But
I think we see Brady, Rivers, and Watson, and it's much ado about
nothing. Yeah, Kyle Brady and Watson, as Andy said, both in the locker room today, not really speaking to anybody, but I think their presence, their mere
or
presence.
Or flat out refusing to speak to me in the case of Ben Watson.
That's true. But
even when I said, I'm not going to ask about you or your injury.
Can't hold that against them.
Well, I can hold anything I want against him.
Yeah, but he looked back and said something and laughed, but you didn't hear him. He, like, made a
He's
joke.
Making fun of me?
No, like, he was, like...
Making fun of my size of my head or something?
It is like Sputnik.
No, I think he was just saying that he wasn't
talking
type thing.
Yeah, I'm not holding a grudge.
I think that's
all... the tip thing to hold a grudge on.
That's all about that's all about his injury, I'm sure.
And he's a pretty good guy,
too. He gives out tiny candy.
Oh, yeah, don't go to Ben Watson. No, he's a good guy. He's one of the best guys in the locker room. But
you just don't go there looking for a big tip or big candy.
It's like Chris Ferreira. We're not making fun of being
he's
cheap.
He's not a good guy.
Some people are just cheap. That's just the way they are. and some people aren't. It's that's how they're brought up. Chris Ferreira, if you go to his house, you will be extremely disappointed. Right. I guarantee you. Oh, no, what does he do? He leaves a little ball of candy out on the front porch.
Those are my favorites.
So the
ones
first
that,
fat kid gets everything he wants.
The ones that can't even be bothered to answer the door, they just leave a big bowl out in the front.
Yeah. I'd be pooping on their steps.
I would just take the whole thing.
Well, you don't want to go. You wouldn't want to go in Chris Ferreira's house anyway. There's probably 55 degrees in there right now. He's not touching the heat.
Yeah, thermostat is 62.
What the hell Second, is with the Dallas Thomas hobbled, I think Dallas Clark is going to have a big day. Who is going to cover him?
No one.
Well, I think you're going to see safeties matched up with him. I just don't think Dallas Thomas can cover Dallas Clark.
I haven't seen him, regardless of
ankle injury or not.
I haven't really seen him try to cover a tight end all year.
I tried to ask Bill what they were going to do with Dallas Clark, and not surprisingly, Bill didn't give me the game plan, but he did just admit it. He's a matchup problem. Do you consider him a slot receiver? Do you consider him a tight end? How do you change? That's the problem you face, because you can get stuck in nickel, and they're going to line up in two tights and run, or you could get stuck in regular defense, and they're spreading you out. So it's a matchup issue.
Yeah, and I don't think Harrison can cover him. Not of what we saw what he did with Jason Witten.
I don't think any of them. I don't think
Hobbs can cover Reggie Wayne. So that's why we think it's going to be a high-scoring game because the Colts
are going
to score.
That's why we think the offenses are going to dictate the tempo of the game. Finally, Matt finishes up. I think Bob Sanders is always a factor. He is so good. He's like a hot goalie in the NHL playoffs. His presence turns a good defense into a great one, and when he is not in the lineup, they are literally a different team. He's one of the few players on the field, other than a quarterback, that changes the Vegas line one way or the other, depending on whether he plays. Having said that, if all these doomsday scenarios play out, I think the Patriots win by 2 TDs instead of 3. That's Matt and Quincy. So even if all those bad things happen, he thinks they'll still win by 14 points.
I'm on board. Well, one of the things I'm surprised about...
You're on board if all those bad things happen?
What were the bad things? I was not listening.
Like they have trouble protecting the passer because the tight ends aren't there and they don't have anybody to cover the Dallas Clark.
Oh, no.
And Bob Sanders dominates.
But I don't think
if all of those things happen, you think they're still going to win by 2 touchdowns?
No.
Andy's idiocy aside, I'm surprised that so many fans think this game's going to be a blowout.
Well, I'm with you, and I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I'm not surprised that a lot of fans do. I bet you fans in Indy think they're going to blow the Patriots out.
They should.
I agree with Andy. I think you should.
What's a blowout?
I don't think you should. I think that's stupid.
I think with that offense,
Cowboys were playing the 49ers, I wasn't sitting here going, hey, I got to win by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, Dallas Hobbs,
but what were the rest of the guys on the message boards thinking?
Well, we didn't have message boards back then. But
I'll bet they were thinking.
No, but don't you think they should say, Ellis Hobbs can't hang with our offense. We should be able to score 10 times on him.
I would sit there and say, if this happens, the Cowboys could be in trouble. You know, it's going to be a tight game. I just don't see how you can look at a game this closely matched up and say, hey, they're going to blow them out. Maybe it happens, but how do you look at it and say that?
I think you can. I mean, I think you're a fan, so you say Ellis Hobbs can't cover. They got nobody to cover Dallas Clark.
I'm sorry, but I think
they can't get pressure on Manning.
I think fans should be realistic and look at all the ways the Colts could do things too. Like this guy just said,
I got no problem.
Well, Dallas Clark's going to be wide open. Bob Sanders is going to dominate. I like the Patriots by 2 touchdowns.
But the Colts are looking at it as they have these offensive weapons to exploit the Patriots' defense, and their defense, conversely, is playing better than it ever has. I don't think it's that good, but I'm just saying from the Colts' perspective, they're number one in pass defense with their new cornerbacks that the Patriots have never really gone against. They're at home. The linebackers that they've replaced, we all have talked about all year, are upgrades. Their defense is playing well.
In all likelihood, none of these things are going to sway in any one direction. There's going to be 3 that go to the Patriots and 2 that go to the Colts or 3 that, and that's how it plays out. But
that's
I have no problem as a fan saying all 3 are going to go our way. I got a good feeling.
But I don't care if you have I'm surprised that you would think it would be a blowout is all I'm saying.
Well, what's a blowout, too?
I think 14 points in this game is an easy win. Like you said, Andy, or maybe they're ahead by 7 and like with 2 minutes to go.
Then that's not a blowout.
That's not a blowout.
Right.
But one of the things I think is really in the Colts' advantage for this game is every time they've played in the last couple of years, the pressure's been on the Colts. When they came here, the one year that they blew them out, they had to beat them, And then last year they had in the championship, it was always pressure on the Colts. To me, being home, being an underdog, the whole world's talking about the Patriots. Right. It's like the commentary you wrote, Andy. It's reversed. They're the Patriots now, and I think that's going to help them be more relaxed. Maybe they don't have the talent to get it done, but that's why I don't think it's going to be a blowout, because I think they can at least hang with the Patriots for a while.
All right, want to get back to the emails here?
Sure.
All right, Michael is in Nova Scotia. Actually, before we do that, we would be remiss if we didn't bring this show to a screeching halt and go to the phone banks and talk to Craig in South Carolina. Craig, how are you, my man?
I'm doing fine, Paul. How you doing, bud?
I've been better. People calling for my job again, you know. Right, it's a typical Wednesday.
They need to get the hell over it, you know? I mean, you do a great job, not just on the video, but, you know, pretty much every day on the radio.
Well, thank you, Craig. Pretty much every day. I have my bad days, like yesterday.
Well,
I'm sure.
Do. You know, I mean, everybody does. Tom even had one.
I did? I don't remember that.
Hey, a minute ago, Paul, you brought up the Colts having the number one pass defense in the league.
Yeah, well, they did going into last week. I don't know if they got passed, but, you know.
No, they still are. Okay. They're averaging about 165 a game.
Yep.
And they've only allowed 7 plays over 20 yards. Which
yeah,
is
Bill talked a lot about that in the press conference today. They have not allowed big plays. And
by far the best.
On either side.
Yeah, on either side of the ball.
Well, one thing, though, that if you take a good look at the statistics for this year, there's an unknown fact involved here. The Colts are one of the best tackling teams in football. And the reason why I say that is this. They don't cover very well, but they tackle very well. They've allowed opposing quarterbacks to complete 65.7% of their passes, and that's 26th in the league. So they're letting guys catch the ball. They're just tackling them immediately. The defense as a whole has been allowing a third down conversion rate of 46%. And there's only 3 teams in the league that's worse than that, and that's the Jets, the Broncos, and the Dolphins. And that's twice as bad as they played when they were in the playoffs last year. They only allowed 24%. So I think basically, you know, they haven't played an offense like ours, and I'm not saying we're going to blow them out. My prediction, I've already turned it in, was 38-24. It's not a blowout. I just think things are going to go our way. But I see us completing a lot of balls. You know, we had 38 first downs last week against Washington. I don't think we're going to try to ball control it. We're going to take our shots down the field. Although you mentioned the two new DBs, they're both six-footers. And, you know, they're good size, both about 200 pounds. So I don't think Tom's going to be throwing any Hail Marys to Randy Moss this week. But I think we're going to end up winning the game. I'm really looking forward to it, and it's worthy of all the hype. I have a good question for you guys. Right. You might want to discuss it at some point.
All right, give us a question, and then we're going to move on to the emails, Craig. But you brought a lot of stats to the table, a lot to absorb. What's the question?
Given Spygate and the way we've been piling up on teams, and there's been a few, you know, rumblings about it, not so much by players and coaches, but, you know, mostly the media harping on it. What must Belichick and the Patriots do for Bill to win Coach of the Year?
Go undefeated.
If they go undefeated, then he's going to win Coach of the Year. If they go 15-1 and they win it all, I mean, I think he's going to get Coach of the Year.
But has he in the past?
He's won Coach of the Year.
Oh, he has?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of times the coaches of the good teams don't win the Coach of the Year. It's always one of those.
I think he won it twice, didn't he, Andy? I'm not sure. I'm not positive if he won. Did he win it in 01 and 03?
I believe so.
Yeah. He won it in 01 and 03.
Yeah, I think that's what I thought.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I understand the point of, you know, sometimes the better teams don't always get those awards. It's a team that no one expected anything out of that has a modicum of success, and they
but
give
who's
them.
That this
but
team?
I don't really think there is any team like that right
no.
now. You know, it looked like maybe Houston was a possibility for a while, but they've kind of stumbled.
I'll tell you what, if Kansas City goes to the playoffs, I know who my coach of the year is.
Because that team stinks. All right, Craig, we appreciate it, my man. We'll talk to you tomorrow, I'm sure.
All right, guys.
That's Craig in South Carolina. That's Craig in South Carolina bringing a lot of stats to the table.
He preps for games more than I do.
Well, I will say this, and the fact that I did the preview made me a little bit more in tune with some of those numbers than I normally would be. The 46.6 third down conversion rate against stuck out to me. That was an eye opener. That's a very high number. I'm not surprised to find out that only 3 teams in the league have a worse number than that. But somehow they're finding a way to keep points off the board, and I think the fact that those yards are as low as they are passing.
against them tells me that they're doing a pretty good job, because we know the Colts play from in front. They get leads, and they usually have pretty big leads, and the other team is kind of reserved. If they had really low running totals against them, I would dismiss them, because I would say, well, teams have been behind. They haven't been able to run the ball that much. But the Colts are usually dictating how the game is played, and if they're keeping the yards down in the 160 area, I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and what Craig said, that's what they do. They let you catch the ball, and they come up and tackle, and I think that's the difference with these new guys in the secondary. They're much more physical. They're better tacklers, and I think that's helping their pass defense, because in that Tampa, too, you know, Welker, he's going to catch those seven-yard passes across the middle. That's what they're trying to do, and then hold you to field goals. So that's going to be important.
When
the Patriots, well, we all know the Patriots are moving the football.
There's no way they're going to be punting the ball eight or nine times in this game.
When they get down there, you got to try to hold them to three as many times as you can and eliminate the big play to Moss. But I will disagree with Craig. I think you can throw the jump ball to Randy Moss if Deion Sanders and Champ Bailey are out there, because he just goes up and gets it.
All right, Michael is in Nova Scotia, and obviously in response to the passing of Robert Goulet, and that is why we did the open of the Goulet Open today. He was calling for that, and he says that he thinks that he not only would have gone for it on fourth down, being up 38-0, but Robert Goulet probably would have gone for two after the ensuing touchdown. So he was glad that we played the open.
Okay.
With regards to Canadian NFL games, they should play three downs and on a 110-yard field. American League teams have to have their batter hit, so why not play Canadian rules for football? Should spice it up a little bit. Who's playing better this year, Eugene Wilson or James Sanders? Will Sanders be the man at safety next year?
Yeah, I mean, we were saying before, Sanders is one of the surest tacklers on the team. He comes up, he makes contact, he wraps his arms, and you know, I think you can make an argument the last couple of years that Eugene Wilson is one of the unsurest tacklers on the team. So I think that's and Sanders has improved in pass coverage. I haven't really noticed him getting beat.
If he can hang with the Colts offense, then you start saying James Sanders is just a pretty darn good safety.
And you think he should? We saw him hanging with Ben Watson in training camp, and I know Dallas Clark runs better routes, but there's no faster tight end in football than Ben Watson.
And
James Sanders, that's
not his game. That's not his matchup. You know, the more he can do that, the more you'll accentuate the other aspects of his game. And I also asked him, and he feels confident that at some point he can be Harrison in terms of blitzing and making plays at the line of scrimmage. He just said, you know, Rodney's good at that. He's always been good at that. At some point, he feels like he can be that guy as well. So his confidence is sky high right now, but this will be an interesting game for him too.
All right, Anthony is in North Carolina. He says, with the injury reports due out today, what are your thoughts on how Belichick will handle it? This is the game he generally opts to go with 51 out of the 53 active players on the report in recent years. Does he do it again today, or does he stick with just the legit injuries to the extent that he ever reveals them? I'm leaning toward a report that includes a ton of players that haven't previously been there. What do you guys think?
I'd go with the normal that we've had lately.
Yeah, I don't think he's screwing around with that this year.
I do, too. I don't really, I mean, I guess I'll take his word for it. I didn't really notice that any particular game all of a sudden is an influx. Have you noticed that?
I think he did last year.
Yeah, there was on one game.
Remember
all of a
sudden, then Dungy added people? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He had a bunch of guys, and then Dungy added like four more. And
I don't think that'll happen this week. I think it'll be the guys that have been on it.
Yeah.
I always like in the playoffs, they all disappear.
Right.
You know, in the playoff games, you know, there's a guy that's been on the injury report every week. All of a sudden, he's gone.
Which is why I honestly, the only time I look at the injury report is when I'm doing game notes and have to put in parentheses what the injury actually is when a guy doesn't play.
When the Bengals are playing, so we know who's out on Tuesday.
That's true.
All right, Daniel's next up. You guys have talked a bit about the Pats running up the score and why BB does it. Paul has said that it isn't like BB to do it since it doesn't help you win. Taking a knee and ending the game gives you better odds to win. This got me thinking conventional football wisdom agrees with Paul. But BB is always looking for the advantage. Do you think that he might feel the extra playing time, the extra playing hard, means a better team in the playoffs? Do you think that he may feel like it's early practice for the next week? Just a thought.
No.
I don't. The first time I know what Bill Belichick is thinking, that'll be the first time. Right. I have no idea.
I think it is more likely that he realizes that this is his and the Pats' best chance to leave a lasting memory for football fans everywhere. In 20 or 40 years, do you think people will say, remember that year where the Pats ran up the score on everyone, those jerks? No, they will say, remember the 2007 Pats and how they went 16-0 and no team came close to beating them. They were probably the best team in the history of the NFL.
Bill knows this. He is leaving a legacy. So that
38-0 is not close to not be. I think the same message at 16-0 with impressive wins. You're right. The details will get lost in the wash, and people will say no one was close to beating them. It doesn't matter whether it was 45-0, 38-0, or 52-7.
That's Dan the Man, who's originally from Malden, Mass., but he's lost in Delaware, he says. But I agree with Andy. I think that you leave just as much of a lasting impression going 16-0, winning that game 38-0 or 31-0, whatever. But, you know, whatever. Let's see here. Another one. Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. Fred, I am afraid for your health if you keep letting Paul get you so pissed off. We all know Paul doesn't really believe everything he says. There has been a lot of talk about Manning versus Brady, and I don't care which one you have. They are both great. I like the fact that Brady seems to be able to adapt to any receivers they put out there. We don't really know how Manning would be in those situations since he has always had good receivers, or did he when he first started? Do you guys know? I like the Pats to win this weekend convincingly, 42-24. Thanks to the PFW Circulation Department for straightening out my subscription and taking the extra effort to drop a copy in an envelope until it kicked back in. That's good to hear. For a change, our Circulation Department is actually getting the job done.
At least for one person.
For one person. All right. I don't necessarily think that I say a lot of things that I don't believe. But anyway, Jeff is next up. Greetings to Jake Steele and the Justice League. I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but the Pats are obviously running up the score on opponents. However, what I'm interested in is what people think should be done from a practical standpoint. Other than the 85 Bears defense and the 04 Colts offense, I don't think we've ever seen a team so dominate its opponents where it is obvious that the other team has no chance. When a game is 42-7 at half, if people think the Pats should not run up the score, what exactly should they do in the second half? Run the ball all the time and use Castle and Gutierrez at quarterback with one running back, Morris, one just back from injuries, Maroney, one Falk with a history of injuries, who is the team mascot, Eccles, and then Evans for good measure.
Why can't we get Eccle hurt?
if you had to do this week after week, don't you run the risk of your starting offense getting a bit out of sync?
Yes, if they do it, this is, I was joking with you about my high school team where they have a great running back, and it's been like 3 weeks in a row he hasn't played in the second half, and I said to you, I wonder how this is going to affect him when he actually has to get 35 carries in a Super Bowl postseason game.
Right.
That is a legitimate concern in my mind. I don't see any scenario where they are up to the point where Tom Brady, Lawrence Maroney, Randy Moss can be sat down in the second quarter. No one's asking for that. But midway through the fourth quarter, when you still have Brady on the field and you're going for fourth downs, two very different things. They've already played a full game. They're not going to lose their stamina because they got taken out 10 minutes early.
I agree. Tom, you got some research you're trying to do for us?
I was just looking at the 85 Bears here. They're known for what they did in the playoffs.
Right.
And it's one of those things we were talking about 20 years. You look at the scores of their games, they're not really that impressive. The first week of the year was against Tampa Bay. They won 38-28. Then you're looking at scores like
20-7, 23-7,
27-9, 16-10. Then they hit this stretch here against that game against Dallas, 44-0, where I was cowering in a corner. I remember that one. Then the next week at Atlanta was 36-0. Then they lose to Miami. And then you got 17-10 against the Colts, who I imagine was terrible, 19-6 at the Jets, and 37-17 at Detroit. So you're not talking about a team that won by 50, but here you go in the playoffs, you got 21-0, 24-0, 46-10.
Right.
And that's kind of where the legacy, and I know, I think it actually goes
to... They gave up fewer points the next year, I believe.
Yes, next year they actually had a more dominating season. That's where you're seeing the 44-7s, you know, the 48-14s. So even the 85 Bears...
Right.
The defense struck fear, but I think it came on more late in the year.
And they didn't have the offense.
No.
Patriots are, what is the point differential? 20,
well, they're,
41
they're averaging 41 and they're only allowing 15.
So
right?
26 points they're winning by. I mean, the Bears were barely winning some games by, you know, 10, 15 points. That's, I mean, these Patriots are putting up ridiculous
When you
numbers.
Have a great defense, you're going to have that, like the Ravens.
Right.
That year in Tampa Bay, when they blow somebody out, it's kind of like 20-0. That's
right.
A blowout for a great defense. When you have an offense like the Patriots, that's when you can start racking up 50, 60 points. The Bears just couldn't do that unless they got like 5 turnovers on defense.
Right. And again, you don't know just by looking at a score how the score came to pass. Now, I can tell you the Super Bowl, in my opinion, the Bears ran the score up.
Yes.
They won by as many as they could. But I don't know. I mean, a 44-0 game, I mean, that could have been a 44-0 game. Could have been if they did everything they could to keep it down to 44. I don't know.
I can probably guarantee. I mean, I remember that game as a kid, and I remember a lot of defensive touchdowns. But my guess is Mike Ditka wouldn't run it up on Tom Landry. Because Landry was his hero and
right.
So
played for him and everything.
There was a couple of defenses. I mean, that's back when the Cowboys were starting. They had like five different quarterbacks. They stunk. So, yeah, like that's the type of game a defensive team will get when they blow you out. But the Patriots, in my opinion, they can just score whenever they feel like it. They can put Brady on the field and say, go ahead and score.
And they have a pretty good defense.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You have both sides of the ball. This has been a defense-led team. Even when it was an offense-led team, it was led by an offense that wasn't explosive like this. Corey Dillon had 1,600 yards. A big part of the offense was running the ball. The receivers, Branch and Givens, were good. They weren't great. These guys now are just making big plays left and right down the field, especially Moss. So it's like we talk about with different aspects, a perfect storm. You have a big play receiver, a pretty good defense, a quarterback that can get him the ball, and all of a sudden you're winning games by 26 points. It's not a miracle. The formula is pretty much there for you to see on paper.
Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. We're going to take another call here from Josh in Iowa. Josh, how are you?
Hey, Paul Perillo.
Hey, how are you?
How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right.
Good.
No yelling, no arguing today. We're doing all right.
Yeah, I haven't heard the whole show from yesterday, but it sounds like you guys were getting into it.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, if Andy's there, I have a new game. It's Would You Rather. I don't know if you guys have heard of that board game.
Sort of. What do you got for me?
One of the questions on the outside of the box is, would you rather have a head half the size of a normal person or twice the size?
Well, I guess I like myself. I'm pretty comfortable with myself, and it is twice the size of a normal person, so I'll go with twice the size of a normal person.
Andy didn't get the choice. That. He just got stuck with it.
Yeah, I didn't get a choice. Neither did my mother.
No, I had a question about Samuel and Hobbs in the AFC Championship game. They absolutely shut down Wayne and Harrison. I haven't really seen that yet this year.
You're half right. I thought Samuel pretty much shut down Harrison, but Wayne had a field day in the second half of that game. They were hitting him on those short patterns across the middle all day long. If you remember,
huge play on the last drive.
Right before the two-minute warning, they hit him for, it was like 19 yards.
That was the play he actually fumbled and got it back.
Right. And so I thought Wayne, once they realized what Hobbs was doing, which is playing 30 yards off like he always does, they really exploited that, and I think you're going to see the same thing. I think they're going to go after Hobbs and Brewski again like they did in the championship game. Samuel, in my opinion, can shut Harrison down, especially a Harrison who's probably not going to be 100%.
All right. Hey, one other thing on that last touchdown that Merriweather gave up. Wouldn't it have been better if he would have gone low on Cooley instead of trying to tackle him up by the shoulders, a bigger guy like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, but, you know, it was 52-0 at the time.
Yeah, but we want a shutout, Manny.
Why? do you get extra points for that?
In doing my book.
All right. All right, I guess.
I think that's the Patriots were thinking, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, it wasn't a good play by Merriweather, and, that's unfortunate. You don't want to see your rookie first-round pick not looking good, but... he hasn't played a whole lot. He hasn't played a whole lot, and they have seemingly a good amount of depth in the secondary. I think at least in the short term, it's not anything that I would be overly concerned about. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
That specific play, no.
No, I mean, in general, his play, he hasn't really played a lot.
He hasn't really played.
In the short term, I don't think it's a huge issue. I mean,
I don't.
2 years from now, if he still can't get off the bench, that's a problem.
I don't think it's a good thing for Tom's boy to be seeing regular action, Rashad Baker, when your first-round pick can't see regular action. So I do think that's a bit of a concern, his development. But obviously it's way, way early to start saying he's not ready to contribute or he'll never be able to ready to contribute. I'd prefer to see Brandon Merriweather in the rotation than Rashad Baker.
Josh, before we let you go, how about a prediction for the game?
I'm going to go 38-31 Patriots.
All right. That'll be sounds like an entertaining game to watch. Thanks for the call.
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Dvorkin is bringing this show down into a morass. I mean, you go from Gary, who's got the itchy trigger finger the blow-up, and Dvorkin doesn't even know where the button is, for Christ's sake.
This guy's first time calling. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, people called to get blown up at some point. Come on.
Sometimes you got to give them what they want. you mentioned Rashad Baker, Andy, playing significant action.
I mention him every week when we say, okay, Richard Seymour needs to be activated. Who are they going to cut? And every week
they
don't cut him.
And I tell you, it ain't going to happen.
Do you think that maybe they want to see if they get him some time with his physical presence maybe with Dallas Clark?
Sure.
I'm not saying by himself. I'm not saying you leave him on an island, but maybe you know he's coming
on. Wasn't he on the field last year when everybody complained? They couldn't do anything to stop that offense.
Yeah, but he laid a couple of people out.
In practice.
No, in that game.
I know, I'm just kidding.
So did Eric Alexander.
They caught the pass, but they paid for it.
I don't know if you heard, Eric Alexander had a lot of tackles.
Maybe they'll put him in.
All right, that was just a thought.
I don't know.
Michael's next up.
You know how I feel about Rashad Baker. I'm surprised every time he takes the field and remains on the roster for another week.
You just don't like him because I do. That's the only reason you don't like
him.
No,
I've just never seen him bring anything to the table except for laying
a great hit on Randy Moss
in
minicamp.
Shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah, let that be a lesson to Moss.
All right, the Michael is...
Imagine how this season would have changed had he hurt Randy Moss in that play. Paul's getting like Fred. We're cutting him off when he starts an email.
No, I'm not crying like Fred.
Oh, you're not as much of a bitch.
Fred got really, really mad at you yesterday for doing it.
It is annoying.
What's annoying?
Him when he does it.
Michael is next up. He's been on the Indy Star blog. He's trying to get a gauge of what the Colts fans are thinking. He says the theme is definitely Colts won last year. They'll do it again with the writers and the fans in Indianapolis.
I got no problem with that. That's how
it seems clear to me, however, this game is not a rematch of last year's AFC Championship. Comparing the Patriots' offense that day to what it is now with 5 of 11 new starters, and the Colts' defense also has 5 new starters. The key difference in the change is the Patriots have added proven NFL-caliber talent in all the spots, where the Colts' defense has added younger, unproven guys. In fairness, the Colts' guys may be better than the ones they replaced, but we really don't know yet. Well, I know. I think the Colts will find themselves overmatched by the Patriots' offense from the start, while the Colts' offense will have to probe for an area to attack now that Artrell Hawkins and Eric Alexander are not going to be on the field. I expect them to try to get Dallas Clark and Rodney Harrison... Or attack Ellis Hobbs. He's not on the team anymore. You didn't know?
I mean, before it was like, well, we got Hawkins.
Yeah, he was another example. They can get a guy off the street and turn him into an all-pro. Now he's a stiff.
He also doesn't expect Teddy Bruschi to see much action this week. Patriots offense versus Colts defense will feature 45% new players in the field, 10 of the 22, compared to the AFC title game. Patriots defense versus Colts offense will feature 18% new players in the field, 4 of 22, assuming Marvin Harrison plays and Richard Seymour doesn't play much. Predictions? Patriots 45, Colts 20. return of the Manning face. In an ironic twist, Bill Polian complains that Randy Moss is being too physical with Colts DBs by pushing off or jumping over their backs. That's Mike in Columbus. That's good stuff, Mike. That was good. That was a funny email.
Not even I think it's going to be a 25-point victory.
I'm not sure you meant it to be all that funny. But, let's see.
Well, I don't think it's going to be anything like the AFC Championship game. Like, Andy, you mentioned something about, first of all, we've all watched thousands of games. That ranks in the top handful of games I've ever seen.
Yep.
And plus, everything was on the line that day. Even if we get a 38-34 game on Sunday, it won't be the same because you're not going to the Super Bowl.
Right. So you're 8-1.
So
you come back to
I agree with all the hype. It might be a little disappointing at the end, but it should be an entertaining game. And
well, these teams have played some pretty entertaining games even in the past.
The opening day of 2004 here at Gillette Stadium was a great game. The one that Vanderjack missed the field goal at the end of the game. The Patriots won 27-24.
That was a great game. That other one in the dome with the kickoff returns for Bethel Johnson.
Oh, yeah, and the goal line stand in 03. Patriots won that one, too.
They've played some interesting games. And
if they didn't, it would be a rivalry.
Right, I think this one will be, too. I mean, I don't see... really, anyway, like I said earlier, where this one you're bored at halftime or you
I think
like
you know,
last year.
These people are pointing out that the Colts defense is untested, and I agree. I think the Patriots offense is just so good that there's no defense in this league that's going to stop it.
You saw our top five defense last week just incapable of stopping it. Now,
they're going to move the ball and they're going to score points. The Patriots are. It's just a matter of how much Indy does the same thing and then who makes a mistake. In my opinion,
word. The temperature in the dome.
Yeah, which Bill's answer to that today was classic. It's no hotter than any other dome. I mean, that's you can say that he's not going to make a big deal out of anything like that, but I don't think he makes a comment like that definitive. Right. That's the same as all the other domes. TG, by the way, is next up. He wants to know if Fred is alive. If we
haven't seen him.
If we've gotten that defibrillator yet. And then he says, how do you men of football? Okay, you too, Fred. See the matchups going. Quarterbacks, it's a wash. Do you agree?
Yes.
Why don't you guys tell me if you disagree with anything? I'll read what he has. Running game, advantage Colts, a die over Maroney.
Yep.
Defense, the Colts' defense is faster and younger. The Pats have more experience.
Yep.
Safety, Sanders versus Harrison.
Sanders.
Offensive line, it's a wash. I might give the edge to the Patriots.
Patriots,
the way the Patriots are playing, I'd give the edge to the Patriots.
When you take Glenn out of there now, and then the way the Patriots
especially if Hugo is banged up to the point where he can't play because evidently he didn't play at all last week.
I thought he played too.
I thought he played at the beginning. Well, I know that that's what they said while I was watching the game, is that he had to come out of the game with a shoulder injury. But
then they were cheating because he was listed as inactive, according to
special teams. Gostkowski versus Mr. Clutch.
Well, no, Vinatieri.
But I would give the special teams edge overwhelming edge to the Patriots in this game. It's in a dome. The kickers don't count. I don't want to see a single field goal. The Colts don't punt, so it's Hansen versus himself.
I say he loses. Well, he doesn't punt either.
Or he doesn't punt. I think he's punted less frequently than Hunter Smith.
I will go to the numbers, Paul, and let you know.
Goal line, Klecko versus Vrabel. I'll take Vrabel.
I like Klecko.
Press box, Polian versus Kirsch.
Kirsch.
Yeah.
In an absolute.
I think if Fred ever got into a confrontation with Bill Polian, we would need bail money.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think Fred would kill him in a fit of rage. is it all?
Hunter Smith has punted two more times.
Yes.
But
in one less game. So he definitely has punted more often. Is it at all possible the Patriots roll over them the way they have been doing to everybody else?
No.
Andy says yes.
No, whoa.
It's not possible?
No.
Is the Colonel's underwear a matter of national security?
52-7? You think they can beat the Colts 52-7?
No, I don't.
Just for the record, the Cowboys...
For the record, you're the one who thinks this.
The Cowboys did lead the Patriots in the third quarter.
And
right?
I actually think... I think this game could play out the exact same way as that one. I think the Colts could lead in the third quarter
and then lose by 2 touchdowns. That was a somewhat competitive game.
Right.
I mean, the Patriots own the entire fourth quarter, and that...
I think you could see that here.
I
think there's a much better chance of that than 52-7 Patriots. I will be because Jason
Campbell's not playing.
There won't be enough shock in this world for me to think it's 52-7. Ridiculous.
I'm taking the rest of the year off if it's 52-7. I'll meet you guys in Arizona.
I'll mail you seven stories, and they'll say Patriots win big, and you
I'll do the opposing view. You know, the same old. They're running it up. We stink.
If the Colts win, this is a good one. You guys are like this. Is the pressure of the undefeated season off of the Pats and on the Colts?
Certainly will be off the Pats, right?
And it would certainly be on the Colts because they'd be the only undefeated team.
I'm going to go no. I think Patriots would still have the undefeated pressure on them.
I would say that the only difference is I think the Colts could lose a game in their division. That's why I think it would
be harder
for
them. I think the Colts are
going
to lose the very next game. They're going to go out to San Diego after the Patriots, and I think there's no way they win.
Plus, you wouldn't be surprised if Houston, Jacksonville, or Tennessee went to Indy and sprung an upset because those teams have some talent. Where I would be totally shocked if the Jets, Miami.
I agree. I mean, if we're going to compare the two, I would be totally shocked if the Colts lose a game in the division.
Oh, you would?
Kellen Clemens.
Because they're three home games, but I would be much more shocked.
The Tennessee's
much
them,
more shocked if the Patriots
played
lost
tight
anybody.
The last couple times, even in Indy.
I'd be surprised.
All right, we'll take another phone call before we get to the break. John
in Palm Bay. John, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
So.
Hey, I just got a quick question that I haven't listened to the show all week, so I don't know if you guys covered it. But say if the Patriots win by 20 or more, which I think is a good possibility, do you think the NFL might be kind of upset because the Patriots ruined the parity?
No.
Ruined that. There's only two good teams.
Right.
And if the Patriots win big, there'll only be one good team.
Parity's kind of been a thing that's been lost the last 5 or 6 years. There's been 3 or 4 good teams in football, and the rest kind of stink.
Colts, Steelers, Patriots. I mean, that's the AFC.
And there's been other teams periodically in there. Denver was in it 1 year. Chicago had a good year last year. But San Diego has peaked into that equation. But really, it's been the Patriots, Colts, and Steelers.
That's true.
In my opinion, anyway.
The other question is, if the Patriots do end up with a top 5 pick from Frisco, there's nothing the NFL can do to us with that pick.
I would never say there's nothing Roger Goodell can't do, but I don't certainly see them doing anything.
As far as I know and what we've been told, that pick is the Patriots' pick.
Right.
Unless
new came along.
San Francisco has to give the Patriots their pick in the trade, and the pick that they lose for making the playoffs is their own.
Right.
So unless anything changes between now and then, John, I think that's all we got. So thanks for the call.
See, he's got no stones. Either blow the guy up. Don't wait till the call's over and then blow him up. No stones.
Right.
What a morass.
Well, we had to blow him up because we're up against the break, and I wanted to do that. We'll switch gears a little bit at the break. We'll continue with the emails when we return.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drives it for him, and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and there is it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet!
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your ticks
and get the Revolution.
The New England Revolution.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Right this way, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So are all corks the same?
No. I like
to soak the bigger, thicker cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here? I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks. And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
All right, back here for the second hour of PFW in progress. Tom, Andy, and Paul are with you. The doctor is behind the glass because Gary blew us off again. You know, some meeting or something. I don't know. Maybe one that we were supposed to be at and didn't go to. I don't know. We're still cool still all meetings. Kinds of construction and activity
it's
going on around the stadium.
Not that sexual harassment meeting, was it? Because last year I wasn't listening to a word they said.
No, well, that's what happened. It's obvious. Anyway, we have a lot of emails here, guys. And obviously with a big, huge game coming up. Speaking of big and huge... we have a big game coming up this week with the Indianapolis Colts, and this one's for Tom, I think. This is from Alejandro, and he says, as he's preparing for the gunfight at the RCA Corral, I read a piece about the 1990 clash between the 12-1 Niners and the 12-1 Giants, a game with a similar level of hype that ended 7-3. Two questions. One, can you tell me a little bit about that game? And two, have you ever talked to Belichick about the defensive game plans he used against the Niners? Somehow the Niners seem to have a tough time against New York because they lost in the NFC Championship in another low-scoring affair. And I'll give that one to you because I think that's up your alley.
Well, and they scored a lot. If we went back and looked at the scores of those games before, remember, Paul, how many times when they played? And there were just as many times where the Niners scored in the 30s. Against the Giants. That was one of those things where you had a great offense going up against a great defense. Sometimes the defense won, sometimes the offense won. So there was a lot of good battles. That game had a ton of hype. I remember watching it as a kid, and it just didn't. It was 7-3, and then they try to tell you, well, it was one of those great defensive battles.
I remember Terry Bradshaw on talk radio in the early, really early days of talk radio around here just saying, oh, no. That was great defense. And he had this, like, fake, like, sensitive voice going, too. And it was
a bad game.
It was a bad game.
When you have that much talent, and even the Giants were good offensively, you know, they had some to have two offenses like that and make it 7-3, then it was a bad game. Because a game like that, a good offensive game, a good defensive game would be like 21-24, something like that, yeah. 21-17 even. 7-3, that's just a bad game.
I'll even tell you one thing I remember about that game. It was 7-3. Midway through or late in the fourth quarter, the Giants were driving. They got down inside the 25, I would say, somewhere around. I mean, certainly within easy field goal range, and Parcells decided to go for a fourth down, trying to go for the win rather than making it 7-6 and then potentially getting the ball back. It didn't work. They failed to get the fourth down conversion. And San Francisco ended up winning. But I remember Bavaro had a huge play on that drive where he carried about eight
Bavaro
guys.
That's the Bavaro game, yeah.
And they ended up not getting the field goal, and Parcells got some criticism. I look at that, and I watch Belichick now. That's why I know Belichick is going for those fourth downs, because that's what Parcells always did. You know?
That's a pretty good observation.
That's what the game's best known for, is the Bavaro run there. But yeah, it was a dog of, I mean, I just remember sitting there thinking this game stinks, and a lot of people shared that same opinion, but then you had the football purists tell you what a great game it was. In news from Eric, and I think we expected this in the locker room, you weren't there, Asante Samuel wasn't at practice.
Yeah,
he was in his street clothes.
I wanted to hold off before I said anything about that until, you know, I knew something, but my guess is that he's not feeling really well, because when we got in the locker room today, he was getting dressed at his locker. Tom and I looked at each other and says, do you think it's strange that he's actually getting his clothes on while everybody else is putting their uniform on and getting ready to go out to practice? Sure enough, 10 minutes later, he had his jacket on. He headed to the door and evidently left. So I don't know if there's anything personal going on or if he's just under the weather and Belichick decided to, you know, best to just let him go home and get his rest. But, you know, something to be concerned about and keep an eye on, certainly, early in the week.
Sirs, heck, don't want to see Gay and Hobbs starting that game against that offense. That changes the the perception of that game big time.
Yeah, we got a lot of emails here, so I'm going to try to get to as many of them as I can, especially after Fred ignored most of them yesterday.
Well, the good news, Eric is on his way.
Oh,
so.
Good. So we got that going for us. That,
hey, at least he's checking in. Well done, buddy.
No, that was absolutely the right thing to do. Let's see. The week has finally arrived. I hate to see so many running up the score emails. All I have to say is, guys, just enjoy the show until it lasts. The main reason why I think we lost in the AFC game, other than those two big-eyed Caldwell drops, was our defense was on the field for the entire second half, and Manning was running those two long drives, which basically tired them out. So my question is, do you guys think that it was good strategy to put a game on Manning's hands, take away the running game and short passes to the running back and tight end and not let him eat the clock? I guess Harrison is banged up and they do not have a great third receiver, and even if they score quicker, our offense has time to get back on the field and score. I think the Colts might be more might be happier to eat the clock and long drives, thus disrupting the Patriots' rhythm. By the way, Fred, I saw a Patriots fleece team jacket being sold in India, though not an official one, which might offend you a little bit, yet was happy to see the Pats being popular globally. And that's Karthik in Chicago. Remember Karthik? He used to email in all the time.
I think that's what the Colts want to do. They want.
It's almost like a whole change. Yeah. Andy wrote it with his commentary last week.
They want to run the football. Granted, if they have to score, if Reggie Wayne's wide open down the sidelines, Peyton's not going to check down just so they can control clock. But I think that's how the Patriots play them defensively, right? Is they take away.
They keep everything in front. They're
just
not
like the Colts. So.
Yeah, right. Be interesting to see what happens, because I do think the Colts would like, if they could, if they, you know, if you have a choice, to be methodical in their scoring drives.
I'd actually like them to, though, too. The more I have no problem. If you can beat me by running Joseph Addai down my throat, then you're better than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd rather be beat by Joseph. I have this.
Well, it's the
theory.
Same way with the Patriots. I'd rather be beat by Maroney.
No,
that's
question.
Why
I was these two teams, I'd be trying to take away the pass as much as I can.
Right.
If I have to go nickel, I'll go nickel. Run it down my throat. If you can do that, okay, you did it. But I'm one of those that I don't like a superstar to beat me. The guy that you know is good, stop him. If somebody else beats you, then your team's not deep enough, varied enough, good enough.
And last week, Paul, that's what the Redskins tried to do there, and they actually got a third down on the Patriots, and they scored. And I said to Paul, see, that's part of the plan. If you can stop them there and get a field goal, maybe you're still in the game.
Right.
And so but that's what they were doing. They were running Maroney. But go ahead. You know, if Maroney's going to beat you, then I'm not letting Moss and Welker and those guys beat me. But, you know, I would think that's what the Colts would want to do, is kind of that ball control. But I think one of the interesting matchups is going to be Samuel and Harrison, because last year Harrison got abused by Samuel. I think he took him out of the game, not just physically but mentally. You know how Harrison can pout sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know
Syracuse guy.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be an interesting matchup, because I believe Harrison needs to be a big part of the offense. I don't think he can just throw to Wayne all day and expect to keep up with this team.
All right, Alex is next up. Hello, PFW crew, jumping right on the hype machine. One, Marvin Harrison is coming off an ankle injury. Would you still want Asante Samuel with him, or would you rather put your best corner on Reggie Wayne?
Whichever receiver Hobbs is on, that's where they're going to target.
The Colts have this scary formation with both receivers on one side, leaving Dallas Clark isolated on the other. Bill talked about that a little off your question today, Andy. My question is, who is the best suited to cover Clark, and how do you defend him in that particular formation? It's almost like he read your question.
I mean, it depends on what defense they're in, what they want to cover. You're going to have a corner over there on him. You're going to have a backside corner, because you run the risk of, if you try to do something exotic and have Ellis Hobbs and Asante Samuel on the same side of the field, then all they do as a good offensive coordinator is they see that, they motion out of it, and now all of a sudden you've got either Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison on the backside with Clark, and you don't have a corner. I mean, you can get caught out of position there. So, I mean, that's why they do that type of thing, to try to make you react and see how you're going to call it. The issue is whatever Bill tells them to do in that situation needs to be done. That's where I agree with Tom Brady and Mike Vrabel and some of these guys. That's the important thing. Don't get flustered because you see Harrison and Wayne on one side and Dallas Clark on the other. Whatever Bill told you to do, do it, because that's going to put you in the best chance to win.
All right, Jay, Eric, you have something you're breathlessly waiting to tell us besides what you already did?
Well, just a little note that Benjamin Watson returned to practice.
Okay.
So he was the only one of the missing from last week who was back.
Okay.
But Tom already told you what I called him.
Well, about Asante Samuel.
Yeah. Did we talk about what we saw, you and I,
yeah,
in the locker room? You already mentioned all that?
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering about some of the other guys, maybe not from last week, but like Kyle Brady.
Yep.
And all the, they were all out there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want to go through the list, we can do that, or if you want to read that
who,
first.
Who missed press?
Aside from Samuel, you had Mitchell, Wilson again, Eric Alexander, and Sammy Morris.
So, okay. So same crew.
Same crew minus.
And our predictions Watson. Were right. Brady and Watson are going to play.
James is in England, and he says, at the top of the show, we asked what we were looking for in this game. Well, I'm looking for the Patriots to be up by about 30 points so Brady can kneel on the ball for the whole second half.
Well, he won't do that.
Seriously, I can't wait for this game, but let's not play this game win or lose. We are still going to play them again in the AFC Championship again, and I'd rather lose this one and win that one than the other way around. I think the key to this
True.
Game is to control the score.
If
we score in our opening drive, I think we will win by just scoring when they score. Because I think our offense is good enough to do just that. I'm not quite sure.
Well,
what that
if
means.
That's how you feel, you got a good chance of it because this team scored opening drive every week this year. Remember, Josh McDaniel scripting it. It's coming out like magic.
Strippers checking in.
Hey,
PFW
strippers,
favorite.
What's going on with my passwords?
PFW favorite. Tom and Andy are looking for their passwords. I am battling on a message board with NFL fans, and there is a Brady versus Manning.
Oh.
And one guy said, quote, Peyton Manning is a far superior quarterback. I'm willing to bet he's the only quarterback that calls his own plays. Also, I'm sure he's the only quarterback that sits in on coaches' meetings to develop their game plan against their opponents. Peyton has more responsibility to his team on and off the field than Mr. Brady will. Can you give me a rebuttal to rip him a new A?
Everyone sucks but me.
What do you guys think?
Well, I do think Brady has or Manning has more on his shoulders as far as the offense. I mean, he... He
but
goes
it's their
to,
offense.
Right.
Like, that's one of those
no,
you're going to say.
But I'm saying it's what the guy said is true what he does because I think he does do all that. That's how they run their offense.
But Brady does it, too. I mean, there's plenty of situations where Brady can change the play, can audible, is given two plays to run based on what the defense is in.
And I
so.
Think Brady could do what Manning does if he was in Indianapolis.
Right.
I mean, he's a smart guy. They just give Manning more freedom,
it's
I think,
a different offense,
to do different things at the line and – call different, and I think once you start doing that, you get good at it. Like Manning's been doing it for a while. Jim Kelly did it for a while, and you're almost like when they say like an offensive coordinator gets in a zone. I think it's the same thing for the quarterback.
Right.
He starts seeing things. So.
And by the way, Kurt Warner wasn't he the guy that he calls his own plays in Arizona?
And I thought it was in the 2-minute drill.
And I believe and that's when they were basically using him. Whenever they put him in, it was 2 minute. Whether it was 2 minutes left or not, he was in 2 minutes.
He was running a 2-minute offense.
He called his own plays. I believe Roethlisberger has been given more flexibility to do what he wants in Pittsburgh in terms of audibling and calling plays.
Right.
They're not the only ones. It's not as much as it used to. The old days, it was everybody, the quarterback called the plays. But it's a little different, and that comes with a comfort in the offense. I mean, that gets back to what we've talked about. I don't think Peyton Manning's the only guy who can do that, but you can't just do it your first month on a team. And, you know, teams have to have good coaches, good quarterbacks, and the longer they're together, the more they can do with that. So
I just find out ridiculous the whole Brady versus Manning argument anyway, splitting hairs there.
Right.
I mean, it just, you know, Manning would be equally successful here. Brady would be equally successful there with that crew. I don't think it's
like
so
best
ridiculous.
PFW member, is it Tom? Is it Andy? They're both great.
Richard's next up. Who's up for a quick round of who would you rather kill?
Sure, Dick.
Oh, good. I love this.
Okay, Mangini or Herm Edwards?
Mangini. I kind of like Herm.
You got to like Herm a little bit.
I'll go Herm.
Herm?
Yeah.
You want to kill Herm?
I didn't like the tone of you play to win the game.
T.O. or Jonathan Papelbon?
Oh, Jonathan Papelbon's number one on my list. You can put anyone next to him.
I love that.
T.O.
Except if Papelbon ever plays for another team, I might change my opinion on that. Then he'll be Bobby Jenks in my mind.
The leg or Felger?
The leg.
The leg.
If you wish to replace Kill with Make Fun Of for this one, go ahead.
No,
I'll keep Kill.
Felger.
Shannon Sharp or Jamie Duke?
Jamie Dukes. I don't even know what he's ever done to accomplish anything in his life at any level.
The best show we ever had, Paul, was the one you were on.
Hey, thanks.
Oh, geez, get off your knees.
Gary, it's time for a new opening. You can only
God
do the Napoleon
you,
Dynamite well so many times.
I agree. Gary's been slacking off. He's not even here today.
And for the love of God, bring
I'm
back
sure
the Gilligan's Island soundbite. P.S., if you're not talking about the Colts game yet, shouldn't you be?
We are. Fred's gone. We've
we are
on
talking
the Colts.
About that.
By the way, too many outside media here today. I mean,
I got no problem with that NFL Network girl.
The legs.
No,
happy.
Well, she's the, yeah.
Hey, now.
She's the exception.
I've never seen her before. And
it's pretty big
she was
game
on Monday,
though.
Too.
I wasn't.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
No, it sucks for us because the more cameras, it's harder to get into you know, those little scrums there.
The more cameras, the fewer players.
And not everybody asks the great questions like we do. I mean,
the more cameras, the more the sense of entitlement is the way I look at it. They get in the way.
I agree.
Don't you love the, like, the lean on your shoulder when you're
to
in
get
the
out
camera
of
shot?
And then I move my head even more.
Right.
And with my head, I can cover three cameras.
This is true. Christian,
but the NFL Network girl can come each and every week if she'd like to.
Yeah, I would have to
she
agree
can come
that.
To the locker room, too. Hey, now.
No, didn't oh,
booyah.
Jesus.
See, now someone Hero said it, Steve. So Tom can say it like eight times.
Right.
Christian
just
going to
be yelling,
stuff.
come.
I like your boobs. Yes.
I see the Pats winning by 14
oh, wait, what
as
you,
well.
Peyton Manning, just the Brady Manning talking about
quarterback.
It.
Quarterback. Pretty good now.
Is it okay? I mean, I know you're supposed to not, like, praise yourself and you're self-deprecating and all that. But Brady just went off on his answer, and I forget all the words, but, you know, Manning throws better than I do. He's bigger than I do. He has a better arm than I do. I mean, if you listen to Tom Brady, they're not even in the same league together. And I'm sorry, I just haven't seen that many throws where you go, Brady can't make that throw. He couldn't get the ball there. See what happened? It got picked off. I mean, at some point, don't you just say, well, I'm pretty good, too. No?
That's not how this team works.
I don't like that. Well, whoa, I wouldn't say that. It's not how Tom Brady works.
Right.
But...
Well, it might be how Tom Brady works Sunday night after he wins. He'll say, I told you I was better.
Right.
No, you didn't.
All depends on how it happens.
The only thing he admitted to, that Peyton was a better actor, and
I
agree with that.
I'm not a huge fan of the
like
self-deprecation. That's, I mean...
Like, I have no problem if you don't want to say I'm great.
Right.
But don't try to tell me that you're barely competitive and you and Gutierrez have been neck and neck every week in practice to see who's going to start. You're Tom freaking Brady.
There's a balance between the self-deprecation and the, you know, the arrogance.
Right, that
the,
coy
the conceitedness,
smirk.
You know?
I'm with Greg Easterbrook. I don't trust that smirk.
Well, I just... unbelievable. Christian, next up. He sees the Pats winning by 14 as well. Brady was throwing to Felger and Borges last year and put up 34 points. And let's not forget Tom's record in a dome, 10-1, I believe. Is that all it is? I thought it was more than that. Indy's defense is definitely better, no doubt, but so is ours, and our offense is leaps and bounds better than it was last year. Also, I like the way Maroney looked last week. One more weapon. And as one of you guys said yesterday, it was his best game since last year at Cincinnati. Any word on what's up with Watson? We talked about that. He looks good. Love the show, guys. All right, thanks, Christian. Let's see here.
I'm trying to move around a little bit. Patriots have been pretty good with Tom Brady at quarterback. In domes, on grass, on turf, Sunday, Monday, Saturday, Thursday. Just so you know, when Brady and Belichick play, they got a good chance of winning.
Let's see here.
Problems over there?
It'll be a well, I'm trying to bounce around and get the emails as they're coming in, not just the ones that are already...
A couple of quick little practice notes sent for
all
you.
Right,
try to
ahead.
Find a good one. Remember last week we talked about the first on Wednesday when they normally give out the black shirts. There weren't any, and then the next day they give out...
The boatload.
Well, after the...
Tim Mixon?
Well, he's one of them, but after the game Sunday, Bill made a point more than one occasion saying about what a great week of practice the team
right.
had. That showed today. There were nine guys, all of them on defense, who had black shirts today. So, just proving his point.
Yeah, I saw Santonio Thomas had one.
I know that
Brandon
Merriweather, Ray Ventrone, and Tim Mixon had them.
Yep. Larry Izzo, Pierre Woods, Antoine Spahn. It was just
that is
list.
Interesting.
Yeah. Nine guys. That's three times the normal average.
Nine guys.
And the owner made an appearance, too.
It says right here, practice. Nine times.
The owner was out there. Did he enjoy the show? Was he in sweats? Windsuit?
No, not windsuit today. Light blue sweater.
Pants. You mean he missed the meeting on Patriot Place?
Hey, if he doesn't have to go, no wonder we don't have to.
He probably went to the early session, Paul. There were two of those, remember?
Did you go?
I had practice to cover, guy.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I'm here. Anyway, Rob is next up. He thinks it'll be a blowout, by the way. He's with Andy.
All right, I'm just going to run with it. Patriots 52, Colts nothing. They get the shutout this week.
And here's how I see that kind of thing happening. I think we can assume Manning throws a minimum of one interception. And I think we hold the Colts back on at least two drives. So, Patriots get the ball, first possession TD. Colts get the ball, start slow like they always do, kick on a three and out. Patriots get the ball, score a TD again. Now it's 14-0. If we assume the same amount the rest of the way, and Manning gets his one pick.
Well, just so you know, if we're assuming Manning gets
that
a pick, then I'm saying Brady gets a
that
pick.
We
Why are we assuming one or the other?
That we either return for a TD or get points from.
Okay, great.
That's a three-score game, blowout. Those are my thoughts. Rob, Pats by four TDs. I think we get another one somewhere. I think our listeners are very funny.
Okay, I'll latch on to this Colts blowout, but if I'm going to assume interceptions, then they both got to get them. Well, how many does Brady have? Two. How many does Manning have? Three.
Three. So there's not really much of a
They both advantage. Average a decimal point of an interception per
not
game.
Not much of an advantage to be gained there. And they both threw one last year in the AFC Championship game.
Right.
So let's see here. Lee is next up. Hey, Lee Johnson, as a matter of fact.
I like him. He was a good punter.
Lefty.
I don't think we can compare previous games against the Colts with this one. We've been better than ever. We've been better than even with them, I'm sorry, for years with no receivers. Now we can move the ball at will against them.
What about the last three games?
We've played better fronts than the Colts and destroyed them. We've played a better secondary than the Colts and destroyed them. The Colts will need more than 40 points against our defense. We have one of the top five defenses, don't we? Sort of the Colts, but whatever. Colts are top-notch, so are we. I think we're better, though. Pats will get 45. We do against everyone. The Colts shouldn't get more than 34 against our defense. 45-34. I could see that.
I could see that,
That's a plausible scenario. Mm-hmm.
His score doesn't really...
No.
You read the whole thing, right. And you think it's going to say 65-2.
Well, Patriots. I thought it would be like 45-7 the way it was written, but then he gives 34 points. I could see that.
I mean, the Patriots haven't played an offense as good as the Colts. If we're going to use his little matchup logic of things we haven't seen.
And we got to see...
How many points the Cowboys score? 28?
So 27.
So if we're going to use the theory of haven't played as good, then I got to say that the Colts are going to put up 38, right?
Sure.
Because they're better.
Hell, the Dolphins put up 28. Well.
What?
Garbage time. I don't really count the garbage time.
So. And Jason Taylor.
Yeah.
All right.
Hi, Paul.
Brian, next up. Tom, you must reproduce. We have had the Dr. Spock generation, and it's time for Tom to write his own experimental child-rearing book.
Dr. Douchebag generation.
Can society possibly be any worse off? The only question is, would the baby's first word be mommy or DB? I don't say that word.
Good for you, Paul.
A die over under 120 yards. A die over under 120 yards.
Under,
total.
Under.
I'm sorry, total yards.
Over.
Wayne, over under 100 yards.
Total or receiving? Just kidding. I'm kidding, Paul.
No, you
I'm
weren't.
Kidding.
You
Paul.
Weren't kidding.
I am
there.
Kidding.
You were not kidding.
I was
there.
Kidding.
No, you weren't.
Oh, over. You're an idiot. I love you, Andy. It's
Patriots
don't
defense.
Ever say that again.
Patriots defense, over or under 2 sacks?
Over.
Over.
I go under. Patriots defense, over or under 1 interception?
Push.
Under.
Over. Well, we can assume, right? Brady's going to have, I mean, Andy's going to have a pick.
I say one is a good guess.
There's another one, though. I'd really like to get that half point.
Well, just buy it from Tom. Frank, next up. Dear, no, wait a minute.
I'm a little
sorry,
disappointed.
Frank.
I'm a little disappointed we haven't gotten an email from Fred on his BlackBerry in that meeting saying, this is so boring. You guys don't know what you were lucky to miss. Gary knows what he, Gary, you're back, but you have your jacket on. So you're leaving? He's nodding. So
well,
apparently
is.
Gary is leaving.
It is 1:30.
He's going to Hawaii for the afternoon.
Pratt Pie in Germantown, Maryland. It's one of our favorites. Hey, PFW buds. First off, I think the game will be a shootout, but not a blowout. My prediction is that... So you disagree with Andy then. My prediction is that that the Patriots win 41-32. The difference being 9. Thanks.
That's what it says, the difference being 9?
Thanks, Sarah.
No idea why, just think it will be a close game, but the Pats come out on top in this one. As good as the Colts are, they can tend to get off to a slow start against teams, game versus the Broncos, the Bucks, the Panthers, etc. This team can be stopped at the outset of a game, and the Patriots haven't been stopped in their first possession of any game. Teams like Carolina have forced the Colts to some 3-and-outs, the difference being our offense can capitalize on the turnovers, where teams like the Panthers or Texans really can't. If the Colts present Dallas Clark as a mismatch for the Patriots' defense, Wes Welker has played that role for the Pats' offense. The key to this game will be which defense plays better, and despite both teams rarely turning the ball over, every turnover in this game is likely to be points for the other team. I'm going to be eyeing the defenses on both sides. As we can all agree, both offenses are the best in the league. Moss and Starworth have something to prove here, as now Tom has his receivers. Let's go, Pats.
That's a good point by, who's that, Pratt Pie?
Yeah.
Is that really his name, Pratt Pie?
It's a lot longer than that, but that's
short.
That's what he shortens
Colts have outscored their opponents 37-27 in the first quarter. cumulative. 60-26 in the second, 70-21 in the third, and 57-28 in the fourth, where they clearly call the dogs off, unlike some teams. But, yeah, and the Patriots, give me a minute, but we obviously, it's like 79-7, I want to say. The Patriots, 79-7 Patriots have outscored their opponents in the first quarter. So that could be something to keep an eye on if the Patriots can jump out to, you know, if it's sort of reverse of what we're thinking, if the Patriots just jump out, say, 14-0, even if you match, you might lose 45-31 or whatever the rest of the way.
Touchdown lead.
Let's see here. David is in the Philippines, our buddy David, talking about Stallworth against the Colts secondary. Thanks for talking actual football today.
Well, that's what we do when Fred's not here.
It's much appreciated. I have one question and one comment. Given the high pass completion rate and good tackling after the catch by the Indy defensive backs, as you were discussing with Craig earlier, how do you think Stallworth will do? He usually does very well with yards after the catch. It would be really interesting to see how the two strengths match up. I expect Moss to be heavily covered, and this could be one of those games where Stallworth gets a lot of chances as a result.
Well, pick your poison.
Who do you think? You think Stallworth is...
pick your poison.
You think Stallworth is a key?
Sure.
I really hope you guys are right about Kyle Brady and Benjamin Watson suiting up this week, especially Brady. I think the Pats have enough other pass catchers that Watson won't be needed to do much. And given the time he's been out, I wouldn't expect his best performance in this very first game back. Having Kyle Brady around to protect Tom Brady's back is very important to us. There are some teams on our schedule that we could beat with Matt Castle, but this game isn't one of them. If we can continue the great protection Tom has had pretty much all of this year, I think we can find a way to win. If Tom gets roughed up by the Indy pass rush, it's going to be a long day or night, in my case, for Pats fans. That's Dave in the Philippines. Nothing?
Yeah. I'd like to answer the Stallworth part, but I don't know how matchups are going to unfold.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Stallworth, it could be Welker, it could be Watson, it could be any of those guys that are not Moss.
The one thing we've talked about a little bit is the way they've used Moss so often with Welker on one side, and I've heard people pose at some point they're going to unleash the Moss-Stallworth on the same side, kind of the Harrison, you know, sort of like what we talked about with the Colts, where they have Dallas Clark on the backside, the slot guy. He's a Wes Welker type slot receiver guy. You know, put your two big guns on one side and see how defenses approach that, how they try to take that away, what that opens up. Maybe this is the game where we see some of that. The one interesting aspect we heard from Bill was that when they do go nickel, that they bump Marlon Jackson down
inside
and bring in Jennings.
Yeah.
I'd give you a first name if I knew it.
Mr.
Kelly.
Is it? Is that who it is?
I think so. I don't know for sure.
I'll go to the depth chart. I got it right here. Talk amongst yourselves.
Kelly Jennings.
I've heard that name.
He's either on...
For all I know, I went to third grade with him.
He's either on them or the Seahawks.
I was going to say, I thought he was on Seattle.
Tim. Tim Jennings, 5'8".
Could have gone with Keith Mr. Jennings of East Tennessee State fame.
What's, did it say where he went to school?
Look, 23. Got to get his number cross-referenced with the... He's a DB out of Georgia. Went to Orange, Orangeburg.
Yeah, he went to Georgia, and the one for Seattle went to Miami.
Second round pick last year.
We got another emailer kind of throwing forth a theory of putting Samuel on Wayne instead because of Harrison's injury. He's been having a tough season, probably isn't 100%, Marvin Harrison we're talking about. Do you think it might make more sense to have Samuel play against Reggie Wayne and let Hobbs try to handle the injured Harrison? And, by the way, her prediction is 45-42. Last-minute game winner by Gostkowski, or Vinatieri chokes on his last-minute attempt. I'd be happy with either one, says Christy.
So, first of all, if we look at it base, isn't often Reggie Wayne on the right, Marvin Harrison on the left? Isn't that what they do?
No, it's the flip-flop.
Yeah.
Harrison,
when
number one guy goes
the
on
offense
the...
is facing this way, Harrison's here.
Harrison's on the right, matched up with
Samuel.
Yes,
on the left cornerback, yeah.
Okay.
That's what they generally have done. But with Harrison out of the lineup, and I have, you know, of course.
They've done a lot of stuff recently.
Right, and they've done some different stuff.
The last
and they've
two
had
weeks,
some bunched up formations that we saw a lot of. I was mentioning to you, Eric, because I was writing the preview, I had a couple of different spots where I had said that they generally don't switch sides with their receivers a lot, and they don't. Bill talked about that a lot last year. But I think with Harrison out this year, they've tried some different things with Gonzalez. And, you know, his production hasn't been great, but I think he's coming on a little bit. Even though the production hasn't shown, I think he's had more of a presence in the offense. Certainly,
I'm disappointed in him.
That's a huge loss. I don't think he's that good. But I think that's a huge loss.
I thought he was Joseph Addai, too, which means I didn't think he was that good, and I thought he'd be productive in their system.
Okay, let's bounce around a little bit. Rumors. We like rumors. This is Rob in Brisbane, Australia. There might be something to Fred saying yesterday that the reason the NFL destroyed the tape so quickly was because Belichick had gathered footage of other teams cheating. Greg Easterbrook, of all people, said that he had heard the same rumors from the New York Press. He did not say he heard it from the New York Press. That a couple of other teams may have been on the tapes, and that was why it was destroyed so quickly. Maybe Bill wasn't so dumb about this whole thing.
I now buy that wholeheartedly. If Fred is using it as an argument for the Patriots, and Greg Easterbrook, we know, is against the Patriots, and they're selling the same story, that tells me that story's true.
Well, the other thing is, Greg Easterbrook was on local radio this morning, WEEI. He said that he heard that from
team management
types of other NFL teams.
Which worried me.
Which is a lot.
I thought of Fred.
But that's a lot.
But he said other, right?
But that's a lot more plausible than New York media types.
Oh, yeah.
That puts a lot more.
I'm 100% I buy the fact that there was damning evidence for other teams in that evidence. No question. I like some of his theories, though, and some of his terms he threw out. The rule of scandal is it's never.
The rule in scandals is it's never. You can never cover
never
it up.
Never buried, and he had like three or four rules.
The law of scandals, I think it was. The law of scandals is
one of those
never.
Where who wrote this law? You?
Who knows? Kevin is in KC. With the comment earlier on the show today that Asante Samuel should be able to handle Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne being viewed as more of a threat, would Belichick consider switching the sides? So that seems to be a huge.
No, because then Harrison would be more of a threat.
It seems to be a huge thing, but I think the. No, by the way, strippers came through for you guys.
Oh, nice. Forward that to my account.
But, I just think that the problem is for the Colts is is Harrison not healthy enough to exploit any coverage, whether it's Samuels, Hobbs, Gay, whoever? That, I think, is the question that Indianapolis is going to be concerned about.
Is he healthy?
Is he healthy enough to.
Because I'd certainly rather have a healthy Samuel on a healthy Reggie Wayne and then a hobbled Harrison against Hobbs because it might give me a chance.
I think what would really be interesting is if Harrison can't play or if he plays and then he has to come out of the game.
I think Patriots fans like this line of thinking.
But does Samuel switch sides and play Wayne? Because they haven't really done that very much.
Nope. And it hasn't hurt him yet.
But I wonder if you do that in a game like this.
I would. I agree with everyone else. Hobbs has stunk this year.
Well.
Maybe you put Samuel on Clark and you double-team Wayne. Because they line Clark out wide a lot.
That's why they make the big bucks as coaches.
I was saying if they don't take Samuel and shadow Wayne, maybe when Clark goes out, they use Samuel on him and keep Hobbs on Wayne.
I wouldn't have Samuel on Clark. I don't think that's a...
I think that's a waste of Samuel.
Yeah, I think that's too much of a step
But I'm
down.
Saying if they're not using him to cover... Well, I certainly wouldn't have him on Gonzalez. Who the hell cares about that?
Well, you put him on Wayne or Harrison.
But that's the question.
No, but I'm saying if they keep...
What Tom said.
If they keep...
He's going to be on Gonzalez if he's not on Wayne, if Harrison's out of the game.
So what I'm saying when they split Clark...
Right.
Because sometimes they'll put Clark in Harrison's spot and kind of use him as a receiver,
right.
too. So maybe they use him on those situations. I think Harrison will be all right.
It seems like it. Yeah, it sounds like it.
Is that your diagnosis, doctor?
I'm just guessing. I think he'll be fine.
See, I'm just going by the past, and generally he would be out of the game on the third play playing against the Patriots. That's my guess.
Well, yesterday I could have said the word, but not anymore.
Are we not concerned at all about what took place today with Samuel?
I'm assuming he's a little under the weather. I mean, I don't.
All right. You know,
which certainly isn't good.
Let's put it this way. I'd be a lot more concerned about it on a Friday and you know, if he doesn't practice all week, I think that's something to be concerned with.
Mm-hmm. Did he have Pedialyte in his locker?
No.
Didn't look.
But you guys ready for a conspiracy theory on the running up the score?
Sure.
This is from Wayne in East Freetown, Mass. Fact. The Redskins run the Tampa 2 defense very well against their previous opponents. Fact. The Colts run the Tampa 2 defense, and this year they're running it very, very well. Fact, the Patriots lost to the Colts in the AFC Championship game partly because their offense couldn't keep pace with the Colts' offense. If I am Bill Belichick, I believe my offense wasn't as sharp in the second half of the Colts game as they were in the first half. The Redskins game served as a reminder that Bill wants them to score every time they are on the field, regardless of the lead. The coach was sending a message to his offense, not the Redskins' defense.
I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think, I guess I'm in the minority. I don't think the Patriots losing had anything at all to do with a lack of a killer instinct. I don't think it had anything to do with taking the foot off the gas and letting up.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think it had anything to do with the offense not being as good. Or, you know.
But who said that? All I've heard is that...
That's what these facts were, that they couldn't keep up with the Colts in the second
half.
Sorry,
I meant in general who has said that. Because all I've heard is that...
I've heard a lot of people say they blew a lead in the
cramps, they ran out of gas, they were old, slow,
I'm
tired,
about,
had the flu, and they had light, bad players on the field.
In light of this running up the score scandal, I've heard people saying... Look what happened in the AFC Championship game. They were up 21-3. Should they have let up then? They, you know, and they let up then, and they got beat. I don't think that had anything
to
do with it. They didn't let up. They continued to score in the second half.
And the Colts had the
ball. I haven't heard anybody say that, but it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life.
The Colts had the ball for a lot of the second half, too.
I mean, let's face it. The Patriots didn't go out there and punt very often.
They only lost by 4 points.
But, I mean, they scored. It would be one thing if they were up 21-3 and they lost 38-21. Okay, now you didn't do anything in the second half.
Yeah.
They scored 34 points.
I know.
Now, they weren't quite as good in the second half as they were in the first, but it was pretty good, both halves.
Well, they only scored 14 in the first half because one of them was Samuel,
so
it was 14 and 13.
And, you know, a couple of drop passes has nothing to do with, you know, letting your foot off the gas.
And again, the Colts had the ball in that second half.
I agree. Let's see. Tom says...
Enrique Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney aren't the... like. Right. It's a whole different team now that you're sending a message to that's... Mm-hmm. Even if the message is based on... I think it's... All that stuff is dumb. All the arguments that I've heard so far for why they're running it up are stupid.
Tom is in Newport Beach, and he says, Happy Halloween, Peckerwoods.
Sup, bitches?
I am a podcast listener in California, so maybe you've already discussed this, but did any of you catch... What a self-righteous jerk Steve Young was on Monday night.
No.
Of course, he was outraged about how the Patriots were running up the score, not respecting the game, and so on. Am I crazy, or is he hoping to see the Patriots fail, or trying to run them down in any way he can, just so he can feel better about himself and his old Niners teams? I remember when he just laughed off Parcells, saying they cut out the headsets at the Giants against the Niners games as gamesmanship. Oh, and if Tom is there, did he notice Michael Irvin jumping up and down like an idiot in Jerry Jones' box when the Cowboys beat the Bills on Monday night a couple of weeks back?
I noticed.
On the same topic, is there anyone at ESPN, past or present, who isn't a total DB? Or at least anyone who doesn't have some agenda of their own, pro or con, some team?
I don't like Mark Schlereth.
I don't think there are very many. I don't think there are very many guys out there without agendas. I got to be honest with you.
Not that many guys in this room without agendas.
let's see here. I'm going to go to Cali Girl.
And I don't think Ditka has an agenda. Well, he probably does have some agendas.
I think that they all have agendas. I really do. You don't think when Parcells like rallies to Belichick's defense, there's some agenda there?
Didn't say Parcells. I said Ditka.
No, I'm saying I think everybody has an agenda.
What's Ditka's agenda?
You just don't know what they all are.
I just think he's a crazy old bastard, as Tom would say.
Cali Girl is checking in. She missed us, which is nice. Tom, she missed
you. Tom has missed her.
She missed you.
She missed me?
Yeah. Haven't been able to listen since last Wednesday. She's been so busy at work.
She was a model.
Anyway.
She's probably doing model shoots, photo shoots.
What a performance by the Brady Bunch this week. It's incredible. Godfrey says that the Pats have no class and we're running up the score. That's total BS if you ask me. Stop them for crying out loud. I'm so... Can I just say something about the stop them argument? For 50 minutes, they completely proved to the world that they could not stop them. They were trying. They couldn't do it. Obviously they were trying to stop them. They couldn't do it. Anyway, I am so excited to be able to witness the team's amazingness, if that's even a word.
I like it.
One comment. Do you guys, do you have on the local fans, if your team is up by 45-0, why do you leave the game early? You get the privilege to watch such an amazing team live and in person, and you have the audacity to disrespect the fans far, far away and leave early? Huh. What do you guys think of that?
Well, you know, my friend left early.
I couldn't get out of there.
In his defense, he's a Redskins fan.
Right. I couldn't get out of there fast enough if the game was 45 points one way or the other. Unless it was the Super Bowl. I mean, a playoff game, that's one thing.
But. See, I don't leave, but that's just my own personal.
What do you think?
I never leave games early.
I would definitely leave a game.
You never know what you're going to see.
This place, if you don't, sometimes you.
But whatever I see at 45-0 is meaningless.
What if it's the greatest play in the history of the game?
That's how I look at
it. It's meaningless.
You know?
That's why I watch sports.
I don't like going to games live.
Well, I mean, that's a different argument. I think you get a better view on TV. No, but if you're there, I don't want to miss it. It's like that stupid play you emailed me from the Texas game.
Yeah.
Like that.
Trinity.
That play, whether it happened to win a game or whether it happened in the second quarter, I would have wanted to see it.
Great play.
I would have wanted to see that live.
Now, if that happened in a 45-0 game, to me, that doesn't mean anything.
See, I would want to see it.
Because one team's probably not.
I agree with Eric.
But one team's not trying as hard as it can.
It doesn't matter. I want to see
nothing.
It.
It only matters to me if it counts.
I just want to see plays. That's why I watch athletics, to see plays.
Okay. Anyway, how about Mike Vrabel stepping up and making great plays at his age? It's so wonderful to see. He's a classic guy. Question. What is the one thing that the Colts have that could stop the Pats? What do the Pats have, do you think, to prevail in this game?
What do they have?
They have
a great offense.
What do they have to do to prevail?
What they've been doing.
Yeah, ouch.
Make plays through the passing game. Yeah. If for some reason the Colts can shut down this passing game, then they win the game.
By the way, she did send pictures.
Jack Pat.
She's Belle from Beauty and the Beast for Halloween, and she sent us some pictures.
Oh, nice.
Tom, great. You get to be the Beast.
Yeah, I'm the Beast.
That's very fitting.
And I don't
no
even
costume
have to,
necessary.
I don't even have to dress up. The one thing I would say about the Patriots, though, is now that they're kind of the Colts, they have to do what the Colts should have been doing, you know, some of those years, is they have to take what the defense has given them. Don't get too carried away with throwing up passes to Moss. If you can just pick apart going to Welker and Watson and those guys, continue to do it. Don't get too, we need to score. And so that'll be interesting to see if Brady tries to force a couple.
Well, last week, Bill said, I forgot the exact phrase, but throwing into double coverage is never our best plan or option.
Yeah.
And then I saw London Fletcher running down the field with Sean Taylor, double covering, you know, Randy Moss. Now, to be fair, I don't think Brady thought there was any chance in hell London Fletcher would be in the picture.
Now,
when
he may have seen that 20 yards before where he threw it to and said there's no way he's still going to be with him, and he was.
You keep doing that.
By the way,
somebody's making a play.
By the way, I thought that was pass interference. I thought they intentionally. I thought the combination of the Redskins' coverage, they intentionally got the legs crossed there.
Well, see, I think. Even if you give him the legs, I think he interfered with his left hand on him.
I think there was contact on that play, and I think it should have been called. And I also think that Moss pushed off in the end zone in his touchdown.
Should I be concerned? There's a guy with a hard hat out there.
Would any of you guys be surprised if the Patriots try to start out this game trying to establish the running game to try to keep the Colts' offense off the field?
No.
And then go to the pass when it's there.
No. I would be surprised by that, actually.
I would not be surprised.
I think when healthy with Lawrence Maroney, they've tried to establish the run. They did it against the Jets. They did it last week where he came out running the ball. And Logan Mansions is a wise man once told me, we try to establish the run every week. If it doesn't work and they try to take it away, then we just throw all day.
I think that I would be surprised if it's the same as last week. I would be more looking to the ball being put up earlier in this game than last week.
What do you think, Tom?
I think it depends on how the Colts play them. I don't think with the Colts, I think you can do a lot of different things, especially with the Patriots, with the short passing game, and I know they've done that in the past and it's been successful. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be surprised if they handed the ball off to Maroney either. It's just whatever Bill thinks, whatever kind of defense they're in.
No, I mean, that's the overriding factor is what the defense gives them, like you, Andy and Tom said. But I'm saying if all things are equal.
But you know how sometimes they come out with their scripted plays?
I think the team that's going to be looking to take clock and keep the other team's offense off the field is Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Not so much the Patriots.
I really hope this game ends up being 10-6.
Well,
I'm going to laugh my ass off.
I kind of don't because I have.
No, I really don't, but.
Evidently.
It would be funny.
Would be funny.
Kevin is next up. Not sure where Kevin is. He says, is this the same show from a fish market yesterday to a confession room today? I have no idea what the hell does that mean.
So should I just tell him to shut up, you meow?
What's
and you'd be happy?
What's a fish market?
A place where they sell fish.
Thank you. And how many
How
many tickets do you get for $10?
Did you talk about that already?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What do you think? Since you did not answer the question yesterday, I'm going to ask again. I think Asante Samuel has done a great job so far. Is there a clause in his one-year contract that we cannot offer him a long-term contract? And do we have the cap room right now to extend a few players, especially Brewski? Tom C., just remember what the guy did in the past.
Especially Bruschi. I remember what Emmitt Smith did in the past. I don't want to see him on ESPN talking. I mean, when you can't do something, you can't do it. Especially Bruschi. That's the worst email we've gotten in weeks. I'm sorry. You guys take it.
And, yes, there is. He can't sign the long-term
something
deal now. They can offer him.
It,
they can work out a deal. But it's the same as it was whenever, what is it, August 7th, June 17th, June 14th, 7th?
July something. 14th, I
whatever
think.
That date was.
July
we're past 16th? That date. We're still past that date.
And by the way, don't say, remember what he did in the past, Tom. You ought to say, remember what he did in the past, Bill, because Bill doesn't give a darn what he did in the past.
And he doesn't play a whole lot anymore, so that tells you all you need to know. But anyway, I think that they do have some cap room. I don't think they have a loads of cap room, though, from what I've been reading.
No. Strippers, but also the other issues, they can't do it.
Strippers has some, they can't do it because of the league restrictions. So it's not a clause in his contract. It's a franchise player.
Clause in the CBA.
Right.
But if they wanted to, they could work something out for, they can negotiate
ongoing
at any point.
And they also will have a window after the regular season before free agency.
Right. Bottom line is, if they want Asante Samuel and are willing to do what it takes to get him, then they can have him. But the issue is, are they willing to do what it takes to get
him? I think they should.
If they blow his socks off, I think at this point you got to blow his socks off.
I think he needs to be re-signed. We talked about this about three weeks ago.
But don't you think you need to blow his socks off? Because otherwise, why doesn't he say, I'll see what I'm going to get out there. I'll give you guys a chance. I'll talk to you guys. I'm not saying I'm done as a Patriot, but I want to see whatever the team with the most salary cap money is going to offer me.
Strippers has some over-unders here. Nice. Moss call for offensive interference, 1.5.
Over.
Under.
Called it on.
Over.
What was it again?
Manning, 2.5 touchdown passes.
Over.
Over.
Colts rushing TDs, 1.5.
Under.
Under. A die will get one.
Right over
under.
There? This is a Cali girl. You don't have to have an orgasm when you have the answer.
Brady TD passes, 3.5.
Over.
Over.
Under.
What the heck?
Under
3.5? He's my fantasy
half?
Quarterback. I need
I'm going with 3 because we all know they're focused on the record. That's why they had to get him a third last week.
Manning interception, 1.5.
Under.
Under.
Over. He'll throw 2, I say.
Brady interceptions, 1.5.
Over.
Over.
Under.
All right, Brady Manning debate.
According to Eric, it's going to be 52-2.
Jesus.
Prediction for the fight? Jason's in Boston. What does the outcome of this weekend's game do for the Brady-Manning comparisons? Manning has had his receivers for years, and his stats are the only validation amongst most people that he's better than Tom. Now that Tom has his receivers, can he be considered the clear-cut better quarterback?
All right.
Just let it go.
Let me ask you a question. Say the Colts win the Super Bowl this year. Then what? What are you going to say? Brady has 3 and Peyton has 2?
Then it continues with my whole role reversal because Brady will have the records and Manning will have the rings.
But I don't understand with the whole, I don't know. I guess I just don't really get the argument. I guess the fans need to say one is better than the other.
If you need me to, I'll take Brady right now.
Yes.
But I'll take Manning too. Yeah.
I take either one. I think Brady is a little bit better.
See, I've changed, Eric. I always thought Manning was better, and now I think Brady's better.
And the statistics are there, but I don't think it'll have anything to do with this game.
Because he has the better players or because he's got
better? Because I've seen him do it with different coaches, different players, different systems, dink and dunk, down the field, thrown into everything. Now I say he's just good.
And who was I talking about how long Brady and Manning would play for? Who was that with?
George, the guy who delivers the milk.
I got so many things going on. I can't. What I said, I could see Manning being like a Testaverde playing into his 40s, where Brady, I think, probably 30s, because he's got so many other things going, and I kind of referred to Manning as the Bill Belichick of quarterbacks.
Right.
I'm with you. You've said
what else
this,
am I going to do?
You've said this before,
Coach.
Andy. I'm not so sure if you put a gun to Bill Belichick's head when he retires and you asked him who he would take, I'm not so sure it wouldn't have been Manning.
Right.
Because they're kind of similar, where Manning has nothing else in his life. It's football, 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 football.
Right.
So I think that would be an interesting question to ask him one day. I mean, I don't think he'd ever give you the real answer. But
right. Along those lines, just a quick quarterbacks Bill has loved in the past. Phil Simms, a little irritated with. He said you can ask Phil and the other experts what they...
Well, Bill's a little irritated with him.
With Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, but you took the same...
Because he dared to say something about him. That's all it takes.
But all he was talking about was his coaching style.
Right.
I mean, doesn't he kind of have a right to? He was on the same team with him.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't.
He said something about him.
Next, it'll be ask Phil. I'm sure he'll give you his opinion on it.
Ken is next up in Canton. He says, As to how the Patriots will be able to move the ball, here are a few things to consider. The past roster. I don't know who was questioning the Patriots' ability to move the ball, but anyway. Last year, the Pats played with Hobbs and Samuel at the cornerbacks, both who played well. Baker and, again, I disagree with the Hobbs part. Baker and Sanders at safety. One was a backup, another a backup to the backup who got hurt, Trell Hawkins. Alexander is the pass situation linebacker, and Bruschi and Vrabel both playing out of position, and I don't know who was in on the nickel and dime packages that game. I assume it was Troy as the nickel, and he was overmatched. Troy didn't play defense in that game. The current roster, we have the same cornerbacks, plus we have a nickelback, Randall Gay, who was quietly having a great year. I agree with that. Backup safeties are more experienced, and Harrison's return will be a great improvement. By the way, was Wilson in the locker room a la Brady and Watson? No, he was not.
Hardly anybody was. Anyway.
And he was not. He did pass through real quickly, but not at practice, is what I meant to say. Thank you for correcting me, Andy. Now we will have Thomas in the middle. Vrabel playing his best position. If I'm not mistaken, didn't Vrabel play outside last year in that game some?
Yes.
Yeah, Eric Alexander.
Started inside, so Vrabel could play outside. So Tali Bantakane could sit on the bench.
Right.
Okay.
And then they both played outside when Colvin got cramps.
Last year's game was a combination of the Pats running out of gas in the second half and a lot of reasons that have already been widely expressed, and one of the best quarterbacking jobs I have ever seen in a big game by Peyton Manning. It hurts to say that, but it was true. This week, the Colts will see an offense and defense that is relatively rested, upgraded at several key positions, and supremely confident. Those are the reasons they will win by more than two touchdowns. I respect what the Colts have accomplished. Yeah, it shows. Though my hatred for the Polian rivals Fred's, their record is what it is, which is the second best record in the league over the last 6 years.
And his resume is what it is. For all those people that hate him, dude's built some good teams.
I think Bill pointed out, you know, they've won 13 in a row. They've been at the top of the league.
No, but I'm just talking about Polian, this hate for Polian. If you want to hate him because of the way he carries himself, because he slams the desk in the press box and all that stuff.
I hate him.
Hate him. But don't question what he's done. I mean, it's sort of like not to the same level.
Belichick.
But, yeah. You can hate Bill Belichick for the way he carries himself, for the way he dresses, for anything he does. But don't say he's not a good coach and doesn't run a great organization.
You just sound like a fool when you say that.
Right.
People that criticize Belichick's coaching ability are fools.
Napoleon's an idiot.
Well, why does he build championship teams everywhere he goes?
Let's hit John in Rhode Island from his mom's basement. My erstwhile co-host on WEI. John, what's up, my man?
Hey, same old. I'm just getting ready for a football game. What
about you? A lot of hype for this game. Can't get enough of it.
Yeah, you know, I'm really happy, in all honesty, guys, that, you know, this week is here, because I know it's something that we've all been kind of pointing to on the schedule for a number of weeks now, and really, you know, you try to follow the mantra of, you know, taking it one game at a time like everybody else down the hallway there, but fact is that this is the game that everybody's been waiting for, and, you know, so often we get so disappointed because of the way that these games are so built up and they end up being flops. I don't know that this one is going to be the case. I just have a better feeling about this being a decent game. We talked a little bit with Jim Nance on yesterday's show about, you know, it could literally be last team with the ball wins. Although I get the impression, and just from listening to the tail end of what you guys were talking about, you guys think that this will be somewhat one-sided.
Not necessarily.
Andy,
you know, I think that the Patriots, I think it's going to be like Dallas. I think there's going to be a competitive game, first half, maybe even into the third quarter. But I think at some point the Patriots pull away and are a two-touchdown better team.
I think it's going to be close.
I think the Pats will jump out to an early lead like they have in all these games and then hold off, like they did in Dallas, hold off a run by the Colts and win in the end by at least 10 points.
I'm looking at a close game. I think there's going to be a lot of points like everybody else does, but I think that just one mistake somewhere, one stop is the difference in the game, and I look at it like a 41-35 game, and I like the Patriots. I think their offense is just simply too good for anyone to stop.
I'd have to be right there with you on that one, Paul. I think it will come down to one mistake, one stop, one something. And whichever team comes up with that little something is the team that's going to win. And I think it could go like 41-35, 41-34 either way.
Yeah, well, they got a lot to talk about today. The Colts game is big, John. The fans are waiting for it. Everybody has an opinion, not surprisingly.
That's good.
We've left you a lot of them, so... For that,
we'll get to a lot of those, I think.
We will turn it over to John Rook and Patriots Playbook. We'll see you tomorrow.